Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, phone number 866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. We'll speak to you. Let's see, what's going on today? Ken Jennings, the all-time Jeopardy champ, is going to be on the show.
Rich nerd.
A man I personally booked, Dr. Gary Alter.
Yeah.
Dr. Gary Alter. Who is Dr. Gary Alter, you say? Well, he's a guy who does gender reassignment surgery. I like the way we've put a nice euphemistic spin on people being nuts and wanting to cut off their own junk. Gender reassignment. Okay, vaginas over here, penises by the trees, vaginas down behind the rocks there. All right, let's get a hand in here. Let's see. It's Tim. You want to be Teresa? Fantastic. All right, you guys switch. We're signing gender. Hey, people, if you got here late, we're doing gender reassignment. Hi, I'm Adam Carolla. I'm your cruise director. I'll be assigning genders. Thank you.
It's like shirts and skins.
Yes, you are nuts. That's why you want to hack off your own weenie, boobies, whatever it is.
So you don't believe that in your heart and your soul and your genitals, there were mistakes made in conception.
No, it has now become almost accepted and embraced that you could be a woman trapped inside a man's body. Mm. But again, why not? Here's the deal. If I tell people I have Napoleon trapped inside of me, I'm nuts. If I have a woman trapped inside of me, as if it shows up on a CAT scan or a functional MRI, oh, yeah, no, we checked the data. There's a broad in Corolla. She's got to get out.
Fat Tad the Flunky has a family of four stuck inside
of him. All my life, I've been an obese man trapped inside a Batman's body.
I'll be interested to talk to Dr. Alter because I believe it.
He is. Well, I must say, once in a while, you hear some story with someone having XX chromosomes, but they have a penis and they whatever the hell it is, however it works. Yeah, once in a while, there's a little medical whatever, but that 98% of the people that undergo this were just abused sexually by their stepdad. Now their head is scrambled. And now they're paying to have this surgery done. I like the idea that you have to see a therapist for a year to make sure you're completely sane before we take a machete to your junk. Everything's fine, Dave. The height of sanity. I've seen no more self-actualized guy than Dave Damashek. Therefore, I now clear him to have his genitalia removed
now
surgically.
Where's my vagina?
Now, where's Dave's vagina?
Is it just as crazy if I want to sew on a penis?
Depends where you put it. See,
good question.
Alter, this guy, does Gary Alter, the plastic surgeon I knew from Loveline, this guy just does that. He may be the world's foremost expert at that. He is not a crackpot, though. The thing is, well, he is a crackpot, but the thing is, this is not something a drunken guy can do with a butter knife. I mean, this is very advanced stuff. The idea that you could get all this plumbing hooked up and things working, there's a straight surgery side to it, and then there's a plastic surgery side to it. This guy has, he's board certified in urology, I guess, and plastic surgery, which there's only about five guys in the world have this. So he's a really intelligent guy who's also really nuts, too. But when he brings this book in, your cookies will flip. I guarantee you that.
I've seen this in a porn once.
Really?
Yeah, I've seen four pornos, and one of them happened to have, the girl had boobs, or maybe it was a guy, it had boobs and a penis.
Really?
Yeah, it was kind of fascinating. I'm interested.
You know, it's another topic, maybe for another day, but there are guys, not usually women, but guys who like to mix the sort of macabre and bizarre in with their sexuality. Like, wow, it was really hot because after the guy was done screwing away on her, he made a duke on her and then she ate it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff, and it's like, huh? That's you're into that? I mean, I understand the part, the car accident part of it, but how that gets woven into your sexuality, that's the part that scares me. There's a lot of people that like to mix, you know, the nudity and the sexuality with this sort of train wreck side of life, the bizarre, whatever, you know, violated with a whatever, humiliated with a whatever, sort of done in grotesque environments. I don't understand really that part of sexuality. I don't understand the part where it transcends the sex. To me, sexuality, as long as we're on the topic, it's got to do with sex. The part where someone's in a clown outfit and they're whipping you and they're showing up, they're beaming it into a pic, you know, your dad is watching via closed circuit television along with the rest of the guys you went to high school with. That's a weird part. That's a component that doesn't exactly add up.
Does that really happen? I never know if that's just something that you see in movies. But late 80s, early 90s movies, a big thing was always that the boss man always liked to be dominated. He always liked to be whipped and treated like a child. Yeah. Is that a real thing, you think?
There are so many sexual perversions and intricacies. It's a rainbow of delights, what people want.
Yeah, I've spoken to people, the dominatrix crowd. All big asses and bigger boobs, thankfully, but big asses.
But
yeah.
They're the ones doing the whipping. I mean, the guy who's the recipient.
And there's never been anyone that's been any color other than white, and there's never been a guy that's ever had a blue collar on his white neck. It's white collar guys. They run businesses. They're CEOs. They got lots of money. Maybe you weave a little Asian culture in there every once in a while, but normally. It's not. There's no black guys. There's no Mexican guys. There's no. Those guys get. They get their ass kicked all day. They don't want to pay for it at night.
Right.
There's no relief for them in doing that. They want exactly the opposite. They want to buy a hooker and tell her to play dead for 10 minutes while they just go to town. It's a different thing. These guys, the white guys, the CEOs, they hook them up with bridles and stuff and pull the dominatrix around in a cart like a pony. While they whip them.
Well, you're a man of some stature. Does that appeal to you at all?
Right.
I'm just getting to the place where it's starting to seem appealing. You know, I mean, back when I was swinging a hammer and I had a foreman yelling, time to lean, time to clean and all that stuff. No way. I just wanted the dead hooker. But as the income goes up, you know, I got that Black American Express card now. And I start to add to the collection of automobiles and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm heading that direction.
Good. Now I know what to get you for Hanukkah.
That's right. I cannot stop fornicating with a mop handle. I do the thing where I get in the diaper.
Oh,
I crap myself.
That is the weirdest of all.
I like that, too. I like the 230-pound CEO. I like the guy who looks like Larry Tate from Bewitched in a diaper. Having to then, and then being
like,
disciplined.
Mommy,
I made poopy.
I think I have a diaper rash, Mommy. Rub some cream on it.
Yeah.
It's true. People are into it. It's called infantilism.
I know it is. And the idea that we're not... Here's the thing. We spoke about this yesterday for a second, that there's no more shame left to go around in America. That, oh, no, this guy's just into what he's doing. There's no more rules anymore, in other words. Like, look, we can't stop people from coming into this country across the border in Mexico because they're just looking for a better life, and that who are we to impose our will on them? This guy gets in a diaper and gets the crap beat out of him by, you know, a 300-pound woman in her 50s. Who are we to judge? This guy wants gender reassignment. Who are we to judge? Paris Hilton doesn't exactly have a job. She just makes, you know, internet porn and stays up all night and drives a $500,000 car, but she's a big celebrity. Who as a society are we to pass judgment? I think we need to do a little more of that.
I miss
those days. The no judging has led to guys wearing cutoff sweats and flip-flops on commercial airline flights. Yeah. This is what the no judging. No judging means everyone's doing their own thing. Everyone's telling their teacher to F off. No one has any respect for the cops or authorities anymore. And the guy sitting next to you on the airplane is wearing a wife beater with gravy on it. And he's picking his nose. And it's none of your GD business.
Who are you to judge?
That's right. We can't judge. I say we can judge, as a matter of fact. I say we miss judging. I say society was a little bit better, albeit a little bit more buttoned down, but a little bit better just to go outside. It was nice to go outside and not see. I was driving home. I took a strange route home yesterday, and I used to live up Beechwood Canyon many years ago, or at least a few years ago. I've since moved, But I decided to take the old Beechwood Canyon drive the other day. And as I was heading up, the sun was heading down. This was two days ago. It was about 7:30 at night. I came across the old man, the old guy, not that old, mid-60s into his early 70s, who I forgot, but used to and evidently still does, jog the canyon every single night, no matter what the weather is, with his shirt off. He's a man who's 68 or maybe 72. I don't know. He has old nipples and gray chest hair, and he trucks it up and down that canyon. He has a couple water bottles. He has his shorts on, and he trucks it up to the top of the canyon and down up to the very top and then turns around and comes back. I saw him do it every single day when I lived there. And then one time even ran into him in the little Beechwood market where he stood behind me. Nipples blazing in the sun.
No. What about no shirts,
white,
no shoes?
White chest hair. No, there he was getting a little refreshment, probably the halfway point of his trek. He has about 2 hours to dedicate to this trek every day. Now, as he heads up and heads down the hill, and this isn't a summer thing. And listen, fellas, guys who take your shirts off in the summer, hey, man, it was 85 degrees out there. I couldn't wear that tank top. I've worked with guys who wear steel-toe boots, jeans, and long-sleeve shirts who are up on a roof all day long. It's fine. It's even better. As a matter of fact, if you go to some of these countries where the sun never stops shining and it's perpetually 120 degrees, they don't walk around in underpants. In fact, they wear even more to keep the sun off them. Point is it's never so hot that 6 ounces of cotton needs to be removed from your torso. Hey, look, if you're at a ball game and you want to catch some rays, that's your business. But don't give me that crap where, oh, man, it was so hot, I had to take my shirt off. People do amazing things with shirts on. Barry Sanders ran the football quite nicely, wearing a jersey. Guys run Olympic marathons a lot faster than you do with your shirt off, old man, with the shirt on. Many things can be done with the shirts on. Let's put them on. But the old guy, up and down Beechwood, each and every day. And it's nothing but apartment buildings and traffic either heading up or down the canyon. He exposed his old man nipples to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of sets of eyeballs over the years. And he must be on year 20 of doing this. And I just thought to myself, well, listen, I'm not uptight. I don't mind seeing the guy with the shirt off. You know, it has nothing to do with, my morals or my religion or anything. I just feel like he's imposing himself on people. I have to walk up the street. I have to notice him. It's almost a mandate to process him. Oh, there's the old guy. Hey, oh, he's not wearing his shirt. Geez, that's not something I particularly wanted to see. I'm not going to vomit, but it's not at the top of the list of things I wanted to see. And therefore, I must run him through my spin cycle very quickly. If he had the shirt on, I would not run him through, but he's forced to. I want that guy to put a shirt on. I miss that society. I miss a society where this guy put a shirt on, or if he had a shirt off for some reason, he wouldn't go into the market. Too embarrassing. Someone might say something. People would talk. And for that matter, speaking of shirts off, here's another one as far as society goes. These Biggest Loser shows.
Yes.
These new popular shows where everyone's fat. I was skipping my rope, watching my TV set, listening to my iPod last night about 8 o'clock, and things have a bigger impact when the sound is down oftentimes. Watch TV with the sound down. It's funny. You can tell what's going on. It somehow sinks in a little deeper sometimes. I was watching The Biggest Loser. They did a whole montage of befores and afters. This was a never-ending cavalcade of 330 to 370-pound men, shirtless, standing on a scale, all with at least a C/D cup worth of man boob and areola to go along with it. Now, if you just want to break it down to breast flesh, there was more on these 330-pound guys than would fill a woman's D-cup bra quite easily, especially since the woman is 130 pounds. And as I said, complete with giant stretched areolas, and there they stood, one after the other. Not at 11 o'clock at night, not on deep cable, not on Cinemax, just CBS, ABC, whatever channel it was, whatever the network was, it was 8:03 in the evening. A lot of people are eating dinner. And here's the never-ending cavalcade of super fat, morbidly obese guys with the huge man boobs. Yet, this is fine. No problemo. No one's got a problem with this. But if you're watching Survivor and one of the hot chicks with the former playmate is wrestling on the log with the bataka bat and half a millimeter areola peeks out, fake boobs, by the way, peeks out over the bikini top, got to blur that out.
That is weird. An entire size D man boob is fine for TV, but a little bit of fake female boob isn't fine.
Yeah, it is. And by the way, it's not, you know, it's 1,000-to-1 ratio. Huge, big, fat, morbidly obese guys with big man boobies. And let me tell you something. When you get fat as a guy, you get high levels of circulating estrogen. You essentially become zoftic and you become a woman. That's where you get all the big fleshy boobs. I would argue it's worse to see a boob on a dude. That's confusing. At least there's a context when there's a boob on a woman, but yet, no problemo.
Seems arbitrary.
It's effed up is what it is, and if you're sane and you're an atheist, you can't make heads or tails of society anymore. Look, either things are offensive or they're not. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Big, fat, grotesque, stretch mark covered, man boob, huge areolaed dudes are not comfortable
Tad
to look
just
at.
Me.
Wow.
By the way, Tad in the pool in San Diego, no problem going in his bathing suit. I was covered up like the Unabomber, lest anybody see any of my flesh. This guy was just all out.
See?
That's right.
And
no
that's
shame.
The shame.
No shame.
Is that men should not be working out without their shirts on. And the paradox is a number of top health officials say women between the ages of 17 and 34 should go topless when they work out. And in general.
Wow.
Out in society.
It's better for your boobies?
That's right. In general.
That's right.
And for me.
And they should run.
You're making that up.
The same scientist says that you should rub cocoa butter, copious amounts of cocoa butter on your breasts to keep them supple, that I'm going to need a handful as well. Because I like to stay supple downstairs.
I think I've learned a lot. More shame is good for everyone.
That's right.
And men should keep their tops on, even if they're... If a guy can roof a house with his shirt on, you can certainly jog with your shirt on.
Yes, and if you're old and you're fat, wear two shirts. Supple Downstairs sounds like a nice indie band I'd like to start.
Fine, I get the hint. I'll put my shirt back.
Please, Dave. Thank you. I know it was a long way to go, but put the shirt back on. All right, well, what do we got coming up? Again, Ken Jennings is going to be calling in. He... obviously won millions of dollars on Jeopardy. Was it $3 million? Was it $2 million? What was his overall take? I remember he's the greatest champion they've ever had. It seems to be under $5 million, but I think it's over one or two. So
I think it's between two and three. Bri probably knows.
I don't know the exact amount, but he is the all-time winningest Jeopardy champion.
Yes.
No ass, Sherlock. I just said that. Just say you don't know. Occasionally there's something you don't know. Ken Jennings, also Teresa... Our own Teresa Strasser's worked on many a game show. And did you say you won the pyramid?
I did. And we have a rarely heard tape of it.
Tape of you. And this is not a joke. This is an actual tape of you winning the $100,000 pyramid.
I played it was the $25,000 pyramid. And Donny Osmond was the host. And I played against Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos.
Wait a second. You were the celebrity on it.
Shocking.
I was a celebrity. That's not Jolly. She's the celebrity.
I swear.
Well,
by the way.
Well, hold on. Nobody talk. let me process it. Wow. Do we have a bottle of Crown Royal in here? I need a shot. Oh, I thought you were on the show. I thought it was back when you're 12 or 13. You're a contestant. You were the celebrity.
Yeah, the funny thing is, I told my dad, who doesn't know anything about show business because he's a mechanic, and I said, Dad, I'm going on the show Pyramid. And he goes, oh, honey, what's that? They pair a celebrity and a contestant, and we play for cash and prizes. And he goes, oh, well, sweetie, who's your celebrity?
Yes.
I said, no, I'm the celebrity. And then it turns out talent booker Mike August must have been working on that show. Because I was the celebrity guest.
Wow. I mean, good for you.
But I did beat Steve Sciarippa.
What were you doing at the time?
I was doing While You Were Out on TLC, which was a very popular show.
It was very popular. Okay. All right. No, there you go. All right.
Rachel Perry must have been busy.
I'm already filled with shame. Do I need more?
All right. We will take a break, and then we will hear that tape dug up from Teresa Strasser's vault, which is another good name for a vagina. We'll do that. Also, Ken Jennings after this.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Check it. We got gender reassignment surgeon Dr. Gary Alter. Gender reassignment. Let me get this straight. Some dude walks in here. Half an hour later, we've been looking at boobs. Sweet. Former Jeopardy champ, a.k.a. Nerdy McNerdington, Ken Jennings. From The Simpsons, comedian Dana Gould. Where the hell are the porn stars? I even went home and applied a second dose of Grecian formula last night.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, as we said before, Teresa Strasser, our own Teresa Strasser, was the celebrity in the $25,000 pyramid. Again, celebrity. That's the sound of her family.
They were shocked.
Yeah, I will play the tape. It reminds me quickly, speaking of parents, grandparents, family members being disappointed or maybe not having the official response you would like. I always felt like my grandfather, who was the good one, because he was not an actual Carolla. He was brought in. He was a Jew from Hungary. Ah. We had to go to the bullpen. Because all the abusive, alcoholic, deadbeat, white trash members of the family weren't doing the job. At a certain point, we had to send the golf cart out to the bullpen and get a Jew.
Yeah, bring in the
mix. Yeah, we need a guy who can cook. We need a guy who says put on a sweater. We need that guy in this family. So I spent a lot of time with my grandpa. And he was a great guy, but he didn't pile on the compliments either. He loved Hollywood Squares. That was his game. He watched that. And then toward the end of his life, I got on MTV. I got on K-Rock. I was getting popular, but not with his group. And since no one in my family had cable, and since he was old, and when you're old, you stop listening after three syllables. You know, when you go, hey, it's a cellular phone. You could be in the Zoom. Okay. You could talk on the phone in the laundry. I hear you. Anyway, what should we eat? You know what I mean? They just tune out. So Grandpa knew that all of a sudden I buy a house and I buy a car and stuff. He seemed to know that things were going well, but what is this MTV and what's this Love Line? It's a bunch of kids. Oh, who the hell knows what's going on here? And again, he has no cable. It's neither here nor there. It's almost as if somebody goes to another country and has success over there. Much like maybe what the Hasselhoff family feels. Not sure why he's being stopped at the airport. Turns out, big sensation in Germany. But the point is never did resonate for the guy. And at a certain point, I was asked to go on Squares, the Hollywood Squares.
The Tom Bergeron.
And he watched that show religiously. He watched the old version. I think he may see the new one, too, but the old one he watched, and I watched with
Peter
him.
Peter Marshall.
I watched with him for 10 years, and so I knew that would catch his eye. So I said, Gramps, guess who's going to be going on the Hollywood Squares? That's right, grandson, be right up there in the squares. And said, all right.
Oh, when he saw it, was he excited?
I don't know. No, I don't know that he ever saw it. I didn't tell him what night it was on. His reaction didn't
say better than I'm saying, boy, that show's gone downhill.
Yes.
Well, the thing about, if I can speak for my people, because I am a Hungarian Jew, they don't get that excited about the show business stuff. They're a lot more excited if I've read a good book.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think they're more excited if they've read a good book. Let's be honest. When you say I've, you're talking about yourself listening to yourself, right?
Yes.
So your story, Teresa.
Yes. So I started out as a game show writer. I worked on Win Ben Stein's Money with your buddy Jimmy Kimmel, although they kept us separated because we had access to the actual trivia. And so if we were ever on set, potentially we could be talking to a contestant and give them information. Now, obviously, this
and there
happened.
Was a sexual tension between you and Kimmel. I mean, let's not gloss over that. You're both passionate people.
Well, the funny thing is, Ben Stein, okay, I was there 2.5 seasons. And of course, we were segregated, but we would have rap parties and stuff together. And after 2.5 seasons, I walked by him in the hall, and I'm pretty sure he did not know my name because he said, "Hi, Ryder."
Bueller. Oh,
no. Ryder. He knew I was a writer.
Well, to be fair to Ben, he was probably pretty high on prescription stomach medication.
He was actually a very nice guy. In fact, one time on the show, there was a joke he didn't think was funny, and he sort of said something like, "Who's writing this? Homeless?" And then he sent us all champagne.
Oh, really?
He felt bad that he called us homeless.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, sweet. He's a nice guy.
Yeah. So then I eventually...
Nuts, yes. But a nice guy. So.
Yeah, I enjoyed him. And then I wrote for a bunch of other game shows, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, and et cetera. But then I made my star turn on a game show.
That's right.
I was, just to clarify, I was the celebrity playing with a contestant against Steve Sciarippa and his contestant.
You know what would make it really confusing? If you were playing with, you know, a lot of people come out here to pursue acting, modeling, and whatever, a lot of them end up doing game shows and things like that. And then some years later, they have success. You see the old footage of Tom Selleck on The Dating Game and things like that. What would make this story super confusing is if it was someone who's now popular on The OC. If it was with a 14-year-old Misha Barton, and we had to keep explaining, no, Misha's not the celebrity. No, yes, the lady with the brown hair. Yes, I think her name's Teresa. No, that's just like that.
She's
would make it
cable.
That would be great if this other person really hit.
Well, the other person is and we have tape of it. I played with this this housewife named Janine, and
I'm a fan of her.
She has her own show on the Style Network now. She had a couple kids, and you know, Donny Osmond asked her, what will you do with the money, and she said, I would be able to send my kids to camp. So I couldn't have felt more pressure. And Janine was an amazing player, which you'll hear in a second. So what happened is, I beat Steve Sciarippa for the first couple rounds. So I go to the final, which is for $25,000.
Where's Steve Sciarippa from?
Sopranos. He plays...
Yes, that's right.
The, Bacala.
Right, Bobby Bacala.
Right. So, weird, never hear his regular name. You just always hear the other.
Yeah, and he was actually a decent player. So I go to the $25,000 pyramid. You can only give clues in a very specific way, and they you cannot break the rules at all, and very few people win it. You have 1 minute, and if you don't get something, you can pass and then go back. But you have to get every single answer within 1 minute to get the... Now, just, you can't see a clock while you're hearing this, but just know that it is down to about the last 2 seconds of the minute. So
really? I wanted to hear the whole thing.
No. You'll hear the whole thing, but by the end... When Janine is guessing, she is down to the wire whether or not she's going to take the 25 grand. Here is me and Janine on Pyramid, hosted by Donny Osmond.
What year?
This is, I think, 3 years ago, something like that.
3 years ago. Okay.
Who's going to give? Who's going to receive?
Teresa's going to give, and I'm going to receive.
All right, ladies, take your seats. I wish you all the luck in the world.
Thank you.
Here we go. Ready? Go.
Chamomile. Type of tea. Because I need water. What you do when you have a cough? Why you have a cough?
Why you have a cough?
The city of Glasgow. Think in Scotland, Scottish thing. Freon. The cooler button. Cool thing. The filter. Parkman air conditioner. My longtime dog. My longtime girlfriend. My followers.
Things you've gotten drunk and had sex with?
She passes.
Okay.
Innocent prisoners. Things that are released. My longtime dog.
3 seconds.
Country music fans. Things that are loyal.
Wow.
And she won 25 grand.
So you won the 10 grand in the first round. If I recall how the pyramid goes, you have to win both the rounds.
Yes.
You play at the halfway point, you play for 10, and then if you win the second round, you go 25.
Very rare for someone to win. But Janine was a genius. I mean, I said Glasgow, and she said, you know, things to do with Scotland. Parts of an air conditioner, I thought no one's ever going to guess that.
Well, I would have went with condenser or receiver dryer.
But things that are loyal, I thought, you know, longtime dog was going to get, and then country music fans.
Things that are those are the ones that are impossible. They're parts of game shows where they give you things that you heard of. They're everyday words that you use. It's just impossible to convey that. I did win, lose, or draw once.
Oh, please, let's get a tape of that.
it'd be interesting. I wonder if I have that. Well, it's a lot of me drawing on a thing. And my very first one that I had to convey, I had to hop up, get on a big old sheet of paper there, get my whole group gathered around me. It's humiliating because win, lose, or draw is humiliating because you think, you know, you get one and it says Kentucky bluegrass. And you think, oh, all right, let's see. Got a few seconds. Ah, I'll draw a picture of Colonel Sanders. Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'll draw Colonel Sanders right on the side of the chicken bucket. Then I'll draw some grass, you know, like that. And then I'll draw that blue dog or whatever. So you're drawing Colonel Sanders in your mind, and people are just yelling, "Yeah, Santa Claus! No, no, Jeffrey Dahmer! No, 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 no!" And you realize you picture Colonel Sanders in your head just fine. Your hand doesn't
Chester
picture.
Arthur.
Yes, your hand doesn't picture it so good when you're trying to draw it. My first thing I got to do to go draw out, this is what my group was going to yell out loud as soon as I just clearly illustrate it onto the big piece of butcher paper. An elephant never forgets. Now, I would argue, first off, that an elephant never forgets is not exactly Stitch in Time Saves Nine or The Grass is Always Greener. It's not like you say that a couple times a week. Oh, listen, honey, elephant never forgets. It may be an ism. If it is, it's been gone for 50 years. But fine, I draw the elephant. An elephant, elephant, elephant. Yeah, 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 good. Now, I circle his head. Elephant head, elephant trunk, elephant eyeball, elephant skull. No, no. Now I'll draw an arrow to his brain. The arrow, brain, arrow, elephant head, elephant brain, elephant cranium. No, no. After what, you know, felt like 20 excruciating minutes up there, I realized there's no way to illustrate never forgets. And because nobody has elephant never forgets at the tip of their tongue, it's almost impossible that this spill out of anyone's mouth. Yes, elephant, fine. How do you draw
forget?
Yeah, and there's what I like. I've told this story to quite a few people, and everyone almost immediately bucks up. How do you do it? I'll tell you how you do it. First, you draw an elephant. Yes? Then what? You know, people that think they have the answer but don't, but they immediately step in like life is some kind of bad game show. That's what happened. No, you can't illustrate never forgets. Well, you draw a circle with a line through it, and that means no.
Right.
No. All right. Yeah. Keep going, Brainiac. I want to hear how we're going to finish this one. How do you then illustrate forgets? Well, then you draw the head. You draw a question mark. No. No one's going to say an elephant. You can't do it. That was the very first one I got.
Who was hosting? Alan Thicke? Uh-oh.
I guess this is what the internet is for. Probably would have been a good right about 10 years ago, and maybe it was Alan Thicke. I don't know if Burt Reynolds was there. I don't think he was. I probably would have been happy to see him. But, yes. That is a cruel, cruel joke to a fragile-minded ace man. Never forgets an elephant.
It was Burt Reynolds.
Was he there? What year?
By Burt Reynolds, it says.
What years?
87 to 90.
No way. That was the host?
That was too long ago. Yeah.
Taped at CBS Television City. Well, many game shows have multiple incarnations, like
That's
Pyramid
right.
and stuff, so
That's
this
right.
might have been a different one.
Right. All right. So what? What else do we have here? Was there another story we
Brian
wanted to tell?
Brian was on Beat the Geeks.
He was.
Sound
yeah, I was on
guy
the
Brian.
Comedy Central game show Beat the Geeks about 4 years ago.
Brusca starred in a game show in San Diego called Beat the Meat.
Wow. Audience of one.
What did he win?
Approval rating? Nothing. Zero.
He won a year's worth of Jergens.
Went through a year's worth of Jergens.
All right. Quickly, Beat the Geeks.
Yeah, the way it works is they had guest geeks, experts in all sorts of pop culture, and even though I won the game, we have a clip of me doing not so well against the guest geek who is an expert in James Bond trivia, which I also consider myself an expert in, but as you'll see, not quite as much as this guy.
When I say go, you will have 15 seconds
this
to name
me.
As many well-known valid responses as you can in the following category. The category is Bond theme songs. Go.
You only live twice. The world is not enough. Live and Let Die. Goldfinger. Dr. No. The Living Daylights, A View to a Kill, GoldenEye.
That's time, and Brian, you got eight valid responses.
Now, normally people get, the guy before me got three, so I'm thinking I'm doing pretty
eight
good.
8 and 15 seconds.
Not bad.
Pretty damn good.
Here comes the James Bond geek.
All right, Bond geek, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Your category is actors who played Bond villains. Go.
Adolfo Celli, Joseph Wiseman, Gert Froba, Harold Sakata, Charles Gray, Donald Pleasance, Telly Savalas, Jonathan Price, Robert Shaw, Lotta Linja, Vladik Shaibal.
That's time. 11. You got 11 valid responses.
I feel sorry for the guy with the Bond villain list that was as long as his arm that had to quickly scroll down it. Malik Shaival, number 49, to ring the bell.
I quickly determined that I could not beat this guy and went on to defeat the music geek later in the show.
Wow.
Oh, you did beat the music geek.
Well, I beat the music geek to win the show.
It's unfair to have a guy with such a specialty like James Bond trivia to have a guy who just has general trivia as his expertise go up against that guy. Unfair.
Well, Ken Jennings knows everything about everything.
And he is coming up... He's coming up next after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Alex Trebek, as you've never heard him before, straight out of Canada.
It's getting hot in here. So hot. So take off all your clothes. You better lose yourself in the music. The moment you own it, you better never let it go. Sipping on gin and juice. Laid back with my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
And here's the reason Alex keeps his mind on his money. $2.5 million Jeopardy champion, Ken Jennings, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ken, you there? Do I have to pot him up, Bruskett?
Kyle's talking to him.
Oh. Kyle's speaking to him.
Kyle, the hippie phone screen.
And here's a Jeopardy question. How long is it going to take for us to fire Kyle?
What is... 6 to 9 months. You have to answer in the form of a question.
All right. Well, maybe Ken Jennings is not on the phone. Well, now then I'll tell you what we'll do. What we should do is move forward, because whenever we move forward, and here's how I am in life and in radio too. If a guest drops out, I'm usually happy. More blab time for the Ace Man.
In fact, never play this again.
By the way, I'm on Ken Jennings' blog, and he talks about having to get up very early to do radio, and he says now the time he has to get up is to be funny for Wank, Trudy, and Floor Wax in the morning.
Oh. Well, Ken?
Adam?
Well, you know me as Wank.
I thought you were Floor Wax.
That's Dave. Come on, get with it, buddy.
I'm Trudy.
Hey, Trudy.
Good to speak to you, Ken Jennings.
Happy to be with you guys.
Brainiac, name of the book. Tell us a little about that.
Brainiac is just a look at the phenomenon of trivia, like why Americans just love knowing weird crap and answering questions about it, and you know what it is about our brains that like that kind of thing.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's not our brains. It's our bellies. They're full. Our gas tanks are full. Our bellies are full. Our accounts are full. We have a roof over our head. You know, when you're thinking about famine and dust bowls and when you're going to eat next, you stop thinking about trivia.
Yeah, in Somalia, they don't really care much about, baseball stats or whatever.
Well, if you think about the essence of trivia, it's right in the title. It's trivia. You don't need to know it to survive. It's an extra. It's the
trivial.
It's trivial. It's the parsley by the side of life's plate.
That's absolutely right. But it does make life a lot more interesting, you know?
It does when you're bored because you're fat. Not you, Ken. But what I'm saying is, and believe me, tip of the hat to you, what you did was amazing. 75 straight victories, or you lost your 75th game?
Right, 74-1. So.
Absolutely amazing. For my money, smartest guy on the planet. But it is nice, the more trivia. Like, when you go to the Middle East, they're not so interested in trivia. I'm guessing they don't have a lot of rotisserie baseball leagues over there either. Here's what has happened
to
us.
They play a lot of dodge bullet.
We have roofs over our head. We have food in the refrigerator. We have money in the bank. And now we must occupy our ever-enlarging brains. And this is how we do it.
This is true, but I'd say it's more like salt and pepper than parsley, because it does make daily life just a lot more richer and interesting when you know things about the stuff you see just around you.
And how about the computer as far as this stuff goes? Because I could remember when I was younger, you'd get into arguments with people, whether it was sports or world history, and somebody would have to go to the library if, in fact, you were ever going to figure this thing out.
Yeah, yeah. I remember spending months, like, asking people, you know, oh, what's the name of that band that sang, you know, whatever. And now it's like, you know, 10 keystrokes away. I sort of wonder if it's making us all dumber that we don't have to remember trivia anymore.
Well, let's hope so. So, Ken, what is your life like now? Now, Jeopardy was it 2.5 years ago?
It was almost 2 years ago.
Almost 2 years ago. Obviously, no one knew the name Ken Jennings before this, except for immediate family. And now... your household name.
In many nerdy households, I think that's true, yeah.
That's right.
They call him a celebrinerd.
I like that.
I got that from Time Magazine. They're trying to get the word celebrinerd to catch on. yeah, my daily life is pretty, you know, it's changed quite a bit, mostly just because I was able to leave a computer programming job that I was pretty lousy at and work on a book, which I had a great time doing, you know, traveling around America, meeting, you know, these trivia nerds and trivia subcultures. So maybe it's the start of, like, a new career as an author.
You're married, correct?
I got a wife and a son and a baby on the way in November.
Oh, congrats.
The idea that you're traveling the United States speaking to nerds must delight your wife.
Nerdgasm.
Many, many Star Trek fans go through the same thing. Well, except they're not married. So.
No, they're not. Now, let me ask you this. You made $2.5 million, right, or in change,
right.
From the show. What did the government want out of that?
I guess game show money is just ordinary income, so whatever the highest tax bracket is, that's what I paid.
Do you remember what that amount was?
I'm sure it was some seven-figure amount. I don't know. That was a big check.
I mean, look, you're a smart guy.
You don't forget that.
You don't forget that. I mean, it was at least $1 million, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm sort of skeptical about Richard Hatch, you know, saying, you know, he thought he didn't have to, or slipped his mind or whatever.
I'm sure they pointed out to you when they hand you the big foam core check that you have to rip 40% of this check off and send it to Uncle Sam. But again, for those of you who are worried about getting your phone tapped by the man, worry a little more about this part of life. That's the part you feel.
Well, speaking of ripping, you took...
Over $1 million. Over $1 million. As if... did you have any help from the government when you were doing the trivia?
Any help from the government? No, I was not on trivia welfare.
But yet they still want their cut, don't they?
It's amazing.
Interesting. Were you not paying taxes on the job you currently had or formerly had at that time?
Well, no, I was. It was just a bunch of smaller checks.
Interesting. Okay. All right. No one's got a beef with that. Go ahead, Lefty. Complain about the man listening in on your worthless cell phone conversation.
He won $2.5 million answering trivia questions.
Right. And the government did what?
They took it.
I look at it this way. The government won over $1 million doing nothing.
Yeah, the government's now one of the biggest game show winners in history.
But don't worry.
And you'll probably end up a trivia question yourself, yeah?
Yeah, that's like very exciting for a trivia person to actually be on the back of the card. It's like the Holy Grail for trivia fans.
Your left-wing Hollywood homo buddies, Damashek, want it to be a higher percentage next time, by the way. They don't think it's fair that guys like Ken can win $2.5 million. There's other people that don't have money. I agree. You should give more next time.
I'm sorry.
That's where you're at. Those are your buddies, Dave. Have fun with them. It's not fair.
I'm guessing, Ken, are you Republican?
Actually, I'm not. I was Utah's only Democrat, and now when they moved to Seattle, I think they're out. They don't have any more.
Well, now you have a million reasons to become a Republican.
Are you enjoying Seattle quite a bit more than Utah?
Yeah, we love it up there. It's actually where I'm from originally, and just a beautiful part of the country.
So you just made the pilgrimage home.
Pretty much swimming upstream to spawn, I guess.
So you were able to buy a home, and unfortunately, it's a sad time we're living in, but not set for life.
It's pretty funny, you know? Like, you become the biggest game show winner in history, and then you sort of wonder, okay, now what's my new job?
That'll hold me over for 8 months, but then what? I know, remember when you were a kid and people would say, if you had $1 million, what would you do? And you'd be, well, I'd buy an island. I'd build a huge water slide on it.
I'd buy my dad a house.
I'd buy a golden airplane.
I hope I can put both my kids through college. That's what I'd do with it.
Well, look, they got the computer, Ken. They don't need college anymore. Explain that to them. So are you Mormon?
I am.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
And yet you didn't really like the lifestyle over there in Utah.
Well, the lifestyle was fine, but it's just not really, I don't know, it's not like the most beautiful part of the country to me. It was, mm-hmm. You know, they don't really have trees there, it turns out.
Mm-hmm. So is a Mormon no gambling, no boozing, or are you allowed to do that?
No, pretty much none of whatever
no coffee.
You... Any fun thing you're going to ask me is probably pretty much no.
But then what about doing something like, and I'm not trying to trivialize the trivia, but as far as your faith goes, in a certain way, it's close to gambling. I mean, you're up there, you're answering questions, you're receiving money for providing the right answer, getting the right answer. Any problems with the church in Jeopardy?
No, although I do sort of think about it, you know, just sort of the whole something for nothing aspect of it. I mean, you know, am I teaching me or my kids the wrong lesson? But then I was like, oh, yeah, I could buy lots of stuff with this. So that's when I stopped worrying about it.
Smart. See, a pragmatic Mormon.
Yeah, well, the Daily Double is a form of wagering.
Yeah, I don't think it's not addictive in the same way the blackjack is. You know, I'm not, like, risking my house payment when I'm betting on a Daily Double.
Listen, those kids will be goth inside 8 months anyway. Don't be rebelling against the man. Boy's going to come home with eyeliner in a couple of weeks on. Don't worry about it. You don't own me, Brainiac.
Yeah, that's a pretty rough preschool he's in.
I got a trivia question for you, Ken. What son wants to kill his dad?
What juvenile detention center am I in?
Who never asked to be born?
Oh, look forward to that, because I got to tell you, this is the problem. When you're smart and you're sober and you're everything, there's a decent chance that your kid comes out like you, but there's a better chance that he goes the other direction. And Ken, the other direction from you is Satan.
Trouble. Yeah. Is the little one, do you know if it's a boy or girl?
The little one's going to be a girl.
Aw,
one of each. And the older one seems like a bit of a trivia nerd already, so I don't know. Maybe he'll be a fine, upstanding Jeopardy winner himself someday. I don't know.
Adam thinks not.
All right, so where do we get your book, Ken?
Brainiac's on sale everywhere. Bookstores, online. My website, ken-jennings.com, will have some links, so check it out.
All right. Thanks for speaking to us, Ken. We're all big fans here.
Hey, likewise, Adam. Thanks.
I'll tell you, the thing about Ken Jennings, you know, has the brain of a nerd, but smooth talker.
Yeah, good social skills for a nerd.
Also, you know, it's the two things that probably hurt your ability to interact with human beings more than anything, which is strong faith in a wacky religion and super smart with the trivia. It works great when you're on Jeopardy, but it's hard to communicate with other people. Now, I've never met a nerd Mormon who is more jovial and affable than Ken Jennings.
It must be terrible, though, to be him and just walk in the street sort of like a doctor. Like, hey, can you take a look at this mole and see if it's anything? People must just constantly barrage him with, how about this trivia question? Must be his entire life.
Better that than the guy who plays the tough guy in all the movies and everyone challenges him to a fight every time he goes to a bar. I would argue. At least they can settle this with words. Dave, I know we got sports coming up and then news, but do we have a game we're going to play in sports?
Yeah, we'll play another edition of NFL player or Godfather character to give away these tickets to the Feast of San Gennaro tonight, along with tickets to Jim Belushi in Vegas or tickets to see some UFC fighting at the Arrowhead Pond this weekend.
Yep. Then we have news. Also, Carlos Mencia is going to call in and speak to us as well in the next break. But, T, what's coming up in the news?
Well, Clay Aiken is coming out, but not about what you might think. I will talk more about that and also an Anna Nicole Smith update.
All that coming up on the Adam Carolla Show.
866-901-ADAM. 866-901-ADAM. The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Lake Harmony, Pennsylvania. A 42-year-old woman was charged with making her 6-year-old daughter steal a volunteer fire company's fundraising jar. The amount stolen was $1.85. Definitely not a Jew.
We got news, we got sports coming up, but first, in our rich tradition of definitely not a Jew, Carlos Mencia on the phone. Good to speak to you, Carlos.
I'm definitely not a Jew.
You're in Seattle right now?
I'm in a bus. Listen, I did the biggest bonehead move of all time. About a year ago, I, you know, said, hey, we're going to do this big tour. I mean, you know, I had this little TV show, whatever. And I said okay to a bus wrap.
Right.
With my face plastered on each side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm driving down the road. People pulling over. People throwing stuff at us.
Yeah.
People, you know, I mean, It's the dumbest move I ever did in my life.
Yeah, it's a lot like the time when I thought it'd be cool to drive around in the Oscar Mayer Weenie Mobile, that would be a nice way to get back and forth to work every day. It didn't pay off.
Hard at Parallel Park.
Yes. Carlos, so you're out on the Punisher tour, and you're in Seattle tonight. You'll be in Portland tomorrow night. When do you get back to Los Angeles?
I'm going to be in Los Angeles in, let me see, October, I believe, like 6th, 7th, and 8th, doing like four shows at the Gibson Amphitheater.
I heard through our power booker, Mike August, that those shows were sold out, or the previous shows at the amphitheater were sold out.
I think one of the shows we released like 200 extra seats, and that's about pretty much all that there is in Los Angeles.
That's pretty damn amazing, because that's the kind of place that bands play, big name bands, and the idea, and you know, I don't know if it's 8,000, 12,000, I don't know what the how many seats are in the joint, but that's a pretty nice place to fill.
That's I think it's like 6,000 seats or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. I know it's comedy, but it's like rock and roll kind of weird. It's it's like unbelievable.
So
but don't get me wrong. Even though it's rock and roll style, the chicks are still, you know, not as hot.
Right.
Really? Comedy groupies are not as hot as rock groupies?
No,
and they're smarter, so they don't put out. Trust me.
Exactly, and they're like usually like hairy. You know what I mean? They didn't shave their armpits type deal.
Yeah, they weren't sexually abused, so they're not as easy to get in the sack.
Yeah.
And they don't perform as well.
Yeah, they respect you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As long as they don't respect themselves.
So, Carlos, you get into a bus and you hit the road for months and don't come back in between?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we're doing like 31 days straight, then like 2 days off, then 28 days straight, then like 2 days off.
I was going to say, your wife must be upset, but then I think, well, you guys have been married for a while. She probably could use the break, right?
10 years, but right now she's pregnant, so, you know. She's like 6 months pregnant, so
wow.
Not a good deal, bro.
Just because it amuses me every time. How many brothers and sisters do you have, Carlos?
You're a dick. 18.
Last time you
18.
Named all of them.
There's 11 sisters and 6 brothers. And by the way, now that I have a tour at them,
yeah.
I'm finding out. This is not a joke. I just found out that I have 2 brothers in El Paso, Texas that I never knew about, that my father never told me about.
I'm telling you, because Carlos has been on the show and I've said, what are the names of your 18 brothers and sisters? And he has to sit down and think about it a little bit. You need one of those songs like Johnny Cash. I've been everywhere, man. There's Tito and Maria, and you just put it in the form of a song like kids do with the ABCs. That way you can get it right.
Yeah, I can do it. There's Albert and Joseph and
work it out. It'll be easier, and then when some a-hole jock asks you what they are, you can spit it right out, and we got a toe tapper.
You know what? Next time I'm in there, I'm gonna do it.
All right, well,
my dad's been everywhere, man. That's all good.
Well, come in. Yes, when you come back to town, come in and see us and sing us the "I've Been Everywhere" with your 18 brothers and sisters song, and we will be delighted. Carlos Smith. Yes.
I'll not only do it like that, but what I'll do is like I'll say a name and I'll say something about them, or maybe like how much money each of them owes me, or like
what
kind of favors they've asked me, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
Something to, to remember them.
Yeah, how much they've...
I'll be like, there's Eddie Vedder. He's the one that stabbed me in the side, you know what I mean?
Well, start writing, buddy, because when you come back, I'm going to want to hear it. Carlos Mencia is in Seattle tonight at the Moore Theater, and then heading to Portland tomorrow at the Arlene Schitzer Hall.
That's what it's called?
Well, Schitzer. We got to work it out. Carlos, thanks a lot, buddy. We'll see you when you're in Los Angeles.
Thanks.
All right. Oh, I think you said thanks there. I'd like to hear that song.
Me too.
Peanut butter, lick it.
I'm looking forward to it.
Schitzer, maybe.
Schitzer?
I don't know. S-C-H-I-T-Z-E-R.
That does sound like the other thing.
It sounded like the aforementioned Schitzer Hall.
Yeah.
I love peanut butter. Peanut butter makes me horny. There's a nice chick you got to get set up with. Who you getting set up? Who you going to the prom with? Arlene Schitzer.
Wow. No, the worst is if you're going on a date with him and you're a girl, because then you have to think, oh no, I'm going to be Teresa Schitzer if it works out.
So sad. All right, where are we, Miss Schitzer?
News.
Ah, that's right.
Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez called President Bush the devil in a speech to the UN yesterday, saying in part, quote, "Yesterday the devil came here, right here, right here, and it smells of sulfur still today."
Someone has to explain that sulfur means someone broke gas, not the devil. When I smell sulfur in a room,
right,
I figure Kimmel or Cousin Sal was in it, not Beelzebub.
Well,
I do the sulfur math. Sorry. I'm going with the odds on favorite.
He was referring to Beelzebub Bush in his 23-minute speech.
He was very eloquent.
Yes.
He was here. Right here.
Smells of
sulfur. This here. No, right at this very table. He doesn't even know to call the podium. You know?
Well, he actually used the word devil in reference to President Bush no fewer than 8 times.
I just feel sorry for the poor translator who's like, ugh. Holy Christ, this bloated nut job is now going to hit the podium and I have to translate over and over. I would start saying repeat when he says the same thing. He would right here, right here, right. He said right here 5 times before he got to anything. Is he drunk or high or what's up with that guy?
Well, here's the thing. He crossed himself when he was calling him the devil.
Sure.
You know, and made a praying gesture and looked up at the ceiling.
He's a man of deep faith, yes.
He's, you know, he's just, he hates Bush. He thinks he ignores the poor. He thinks the country here, we thinks we waste oil. I think we tried a failed coup against him at one point. He thinks we're Islamophobic. And he doesn't like the United States imposing democracy. Those are some of his complaints.
Right. But if we presented him with a hot American blonde, he'd be on top of her in 10 seconds. That's what I love about the rest of the world. Complain all you like. You all want to hump our blondes.
Well, there's a hot American blonde in news, unfortunately, for a sad reason, and that is Anna Nicole Smith. More news coming out. The first of 3 toxicology tests performed on her 20-year-old son, Daniel, who died in the Bahamas recently, found that there were no traces of illegal substances in his bloodstream. They have, however, found the antidepressant Lexapro and the sleeping medication Ambien in his system, but they were not at toxic levels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still unclear what killed him.
It's tough with these toxicology reports because I got the feeling if they cut open any of us at any given time, they would find something enough to sound like something. We found traces of marijuana, Ambien, and alcohol, and you'd go, all right, but what? How much? It's not traces of. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So he had a condition, evidently.
Well, the reports are that he was suffering a little bout of depression, and then I even read somewhere that, and this is just an allegation, but he was having some girl problems, so he had a minor depression. I mean, he must have had some congenital condition that just went crazy.
Can I say this to all the folks out there? If you're going to commit suicide, please leave a note. It stops all the conjecture and all the arguing and all the court stuff. Leave a nice note, or go get it by a stingray or something.
Well,
you know, make it easy for us to digest.
They seem pretty certain that it was not suicide, but that he died of something else, and they don't know. I'm sure we'll know more in the coming days. And another unfortunate death, sort of in the Adam Carolla family. Yesterday, we spoke to Amber, who's the daughter of Peggy. Peggy is a woman who weighed 850 pounds. She unfortunately passed away. She was in the middle of litigation. Her husband was allegedly having sex with her daughter in front of her. They were neglecting her, and unfortunately, she passed away. We just learned yesterday, and I should mention that we are going to have Amber, her daughter, on the phone. We're trying to help them to defray their funeral expenses.
Yeah, a lot of people think that might be a scam.
Well,
went to AdamCarolla.com, and that
really
seems to be the buzz on the board. Don't worry, if we do raise the money for the funeral expense, we'll not just hand it over willy-nilly. I think the first thing we need is maybe a coroner's report or death certificate or something. First thing we need to know is that she's gone.
Yes, P.A. Geron has, I've had him call the coroner in Nashville where she died, I believe. So we'll have, I think we'll have information when Peggy calls in.
And we'll just give the money straight to the funeral home rather than to the family.
Right, but a casket, again, there's no add a leaf as we learned to the casket thing. You must build a custom casket. And I don't even know about cremation. If, in fact, you're going to be cremated, I don't think they can just fit you into one of those ovens you see in the horror movies, because those seem to be meant for people that are 300 and below. Brian's suggestion, sound effects guy Brian's suggestion, which is burning Viking ship, that's the way I want to go. That's old school. We put you on a barge, we set it ablaze, and we head you out toward Valhalla, and that's the last time we see you.
Amber told us that her mother, Peggy, was a very observant Catholic, and that cremation is against their religion. So we'll get to the bottom of that.
I would argue.
Yes.
If you're Catholic in relatively good shape, it should be against it, but you don't want to carry 850 pounds up into heaven. You know, those clouds are only rated to like 500 pounds. You and that harp are going to come plummeting down and kill a small family.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want to carry. Yeah. And what about the seventh deadly sin, sloth?
Huh? Right, gluttony.
Check. Gluttony, yeah, check yes. your Bible on
yeah,
that.
That's right there.
That's right. Says it right in there. But seriously, in terms of carrying your worldly body up into heaven, you don't want 850 pounds.
No, you don't want it here or there.
Right.
Well, God bless her and rest her soul. We were talking about antidepressants. Clay Aiken, who you remember from...
I'm telling you right now.
What?
My grandfather and my whole family is in the Neptune Society. And when my grandpa, God bless his Hungarian soul, kicked off a few years back, some guy showed up in his mom's station wagon, dragged him out by his house coat and threw him right in the back. And that's the last we ever saw of him. No, there was no funeral. We never went on the boat where they scattered the ashes. That probably would have been an extra $85. A little rich for the Corolla's blood. My grandfather was dragged out of his house at 4 a.m. or whatever, thrown in the back of a station wagon. For all I know, he's in a landfill in Pacoima right now. It's unclear whether they actually put the guy out and spread the ashes over the open sea or not, because we didn't pay for that part of the funeral.
Right.
It costs $250, probably less. You sign up a few years in advance, and when it happens, just make this phone call, and it's done.
Listen, out to sea for eternity.
My stepmother is in a lollipop tin right now because an urn costs $250. And I'm not kidding. The lollipop tin is propping a door open in my dad's house.
She's in the decorative popcorn container Corolla used to defecate in when he was in high school.
That would have been too good for her.
It's all right. We took a hose to it.
Okay. Let me get on to this Clay Aiken.
We got one of them stick-ups in there on the lid. It's cool.
All right. Clay Aiken is dropping a new album. It's called 1,000 Different Ways. And it seems like now when you come out with an album, you also have to have a personal confession to go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
His is he has panic attacks. And here he is discussing it.
I always prided myself on the fact that I was able to handle this on my own, pray about it, talk to my family, talk to my friends, and just get through it, you know, being tough. And I still don't understand it, because it still happens sometimes. And I guess I just got to a point where I thought, okay, listen, you're not going crazy. And so I talked to my doctor and I said, listen, here's the thing. I don't understand why I feel like I'm going to have a heart attack.
He's taking Paxil, and that's helping him deal with it.
Did you say Pack Fudge or Paxil? His panic attacks, he may never see another penis.
Dude, he digs chicks and chicks dig him.
Well, Brusca is asking me to read this email as I close the news. It's from the, I'm guessing, the program director in San Diego, where we recently did a live show. And it says, we loved having you here, and the event was the biggest thing this radio station has ever done. The OM, what's an OM? Operations manager here, said it's the biggest event he's seen in San Diego in the 7+ years he's been here. I guess we had something like 1,300 people there. So thank you again, San Diego, for having us. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
As a native of Pittsburgh, PA, I've been authorized to issue an apology to the Dodgers. Pittsburgh's local baseball club, the Pirates, are not laying down for the Dodgers during the pennant chase. Quite the opposite, in fact. For the second straight night, the Pittsburgh Lumber Company hammered Dodger pitching. Day one, second straight night, the Pirates dumped the Blue Bums. Padres lost to Arizona, so no change atop the NL West standings. Padres still have it by a half game. But the Phillies, who won last night, are now tied with the Dodgers for the wild card. 10 games to go. It's going to be exciting.
That is a good name for a gay bar. Pittsburgh Lumber Company.
That's good. I thought you were going to say Blue Bumps.
That's not bad either. That's good, too. Let's get the good folks over at PacFudge to put that together.
It turns out a lot of your team names, like the Daddies, you say sometimes, that's a good gay
bar. That's not a bad one either.
Sports is really gay without the actual contact. A lot of butt slapping. A lot of, this guy's a big fella. He's a big strap. He's good looking. He looks good in that uniform. I tell you, nobody feels out. You know, he's a strong shot. He'll throw you around.
It's also more than a little gay as a spectator that we gather around TVs to watch the exploits of other men.
He's an animal. He will manhandle you. He will hand you your lunch. Okay, wow.
Well, speaking of one of the great football players, Terrell Owens, he broke his finger the other night, and so he had surgery on it. A lot of conjecture. They have a bye week leading into this week. A lot of conjecture if he'll be back in time for the Tennessee Titans game.
Bye week sounding a little suggestive as well. True.
Here's Dallas
Teresa
coach
had
Bill
one of
Parcells.
Those in Copenhagen, by the way.
Yeah, it's just a week.
Sorry, go ahead.
Here's Bill Parcells answering whether or not he thinks T.O. will be ready to go for the Tennessee game.
Tennessee is not out of the possibility.
I certainly wouldn't rule it out now. I know we're looking to try to get him moving around pretty good here in the next day or so, so we'll see where we are.
Well, you know, T.O.'s a saucy guy. Turns out so is his finger, is a cocky little fella, too. Here's his response to whether or not
his
he'll
finger,
be back.
An interview with the finger.
I don't have to prove anything to nobody. I start catching passes with the rest of the hand when I feel like it. Let me tell you something else about the rest of T.O.'s hand. The rest of these fingers on his hand couldn't wipe shit without me. I'm the straw that stirs the drink, bitch. Pinky, thumb, f***ing, let's roll.
All right, and
he's talking for the hand now?
Yes, yes.
He's a spokesfinger?
He's a mouthy little fella,
and he
though,
says he's better
right?
than the other fingers.
I know.
Someone should wash his cuticles out with soap.
All right, listen, now, in honor of the Feast of San Gennaro, which commences tonight in Los Angeles, let's play the new game, NFL Player or Godfather Character.
It's the NFL Player or Godfather Character.
Well, here we go. These are names of actual NFL players. Either present or past.
Or past, yes.
Right?
Many of the greats maybe will make an appearance here, or Godfather characters. Let's do, we have enough calls here. Let's just go best of three. We'll do a couple of these rather than one person, best of five. Yes?
Okay. Or right. We can just mow through a few and just do one
just
person.
Prefer to do that.
Phone lines are lit up. Let's
hear
do that
from
people.
Ryan? Right.
Hello?
You ready to play?
Yep.
Here we go.
All right. The first name, Nick Bonaconte. Nick Bonaconte.
Godfather.
Miami Dolphins, no-name defense, then goes on to inside the NFL with Lenny Dawson for about 73 years.
As a son that was paralyzed?
Yes.
Wait, Dave, could he have won tickets to the San Gennaro Fest? Or what
he could have won tickets to the to tonight's Prima Notte
right.
at the San Gennaro Feast. Or tickets, it's your choice, tickets to see Jim Belushi and the Sacred Hearts at the Luxor in Vegas. Tickets to this weekend's UFC, Matt Hughes versus BJ Penn at Arrowhead Pond. Mm. Gift certificates to Hooters, so on and so forth. All right.
Janelle?
Yes.
You ready to play?
I sure am.
Here we go.
Pete Clemenza.
Godfather.
Very nice. Why, Mikey, why don't you tell that nice girl you love her? I miss you so much. I love you with all of my heart.
David, why are you yelling at me?
I was doing my impression.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Since I'm fat like Clemenza, I thought I might be able to.
Stop beating yourself up, you're husky. Cody?
How's it going?
Here we go.
This one's tricky. Lou the Toe Groza.
I'm going to say NFL player.
Very nice, sir.
Nice, yeah.
Now, here we go.
Remember that name.
Next up, stay on hold and choose your prize. Next up,
Alex, you ready to go?
Yeah.
Here we go.
Hyman Roth.
That's Godfather.
Wow, how'd you get that one?
A lot of Hymies in the NFL, but not this one. All right, hang on. Jessica?
Hi.
Here we go.
Here's another curveball. Franco Harris.
NFL.
Very nice.
Good idea. I thought
that might be a tricky one.
All right, let's do one more.
All right.
Jason?
Yeah.
You ready to go? NFL player or Godfather character?
Severed horse head.
That would be the Godfather.
Very nice. Now, if it had just been horse head, The correct answer would have been Shannon Sharp, but this was
or D apostrophe severed horse head. Yes, he does have a horse head.
Take the cannoli.
Until another day, and that day may never come. That was NFL player or Godfather character.
Mike Dawson, the stoner sound guy, trying to do his impression of an Italian guy.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, we need to take a break. Dr. Gary Alter, dear friend, the man does gender reassignment surgery, but he's also a general plastic surgeon. So if you have questions, T...
I have a question about an injectable nose job. I've heard of this, and I want to ask him.
Oh, really?
You can inject a filler into your nose.
Now, Dave's been experimenting with a injectable ear job on Bruska.
Right.
How's that been going?
Ask Bruska's ear how he feels about it. He certainly doesn't seem to have any complaints.
We'll talk to Dr. Gary Alter, the foremost expert in gender reassignment and plastic surgery, after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, sexual reassignment surgeon, Dr. Gary Alter, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dr. Gary Alter on the show. Dear, dear friend, Dr. Gary Alter. I ran into Dr. Alter last Friday when I was forced to attend a party that had a magazine that had my face on the cover of it. I was unclear what I needed to do, so I just sort of walked around alone for 40 minutes and then I left. But I ran into Alter. Now, what were you doing there, Dr. Gary?
You know, just being a sociable guy, Adam, like you. What? Actually, I heard you were going to be there, Adam, so I just ran
what
out of my
What was
house.
The event? Do you know what it was?
It was some new magazine with your face on the cover, so...
Didn't seem like many people were there for that reason.
It was a social event, basically.
Yeah. Anyway, I ran into Dr. Alter and Johnny Fairplay from Survivor. Those were the two biggest celebrities in the place. Dr. Alter, I met some years back on Loveline, and I'm very interested to the point of being obsessed with the whole gender reassignment stuff. Dr. Alter, first off, is a board-certified urologist and a plastic surgeon. Not too many people have that dual certification. Is that true?
That's very true. Right. About five in the world, something like that.
Right.
Wow.
So if I killed you, there would be four?
Yeah, well, you know, you okay. Take a finger off.
So Dr. Alter, and that's your name, right?
It is. It's the real name.
And you are a plastic surgeon, but you specialize in the gender reassignment.
Right. I do all kinds of cosmetic plastic surgery, too, but a good portion a large portion of my practice is various types of genital plastic surgery. And then in that, I do maybe 5% of my practice is sexual reassignment. I do a lot of labiaplasties. I do a lot of reconstructions of failed penis enlargements. I do a lot of things.
So many questions.
A lot of them are actually on the show I'm on, too, on that TV show, Dr. 90210.
And first off, how many do you think you've done in your career as far as the reassignments go?
Oh, not huge numbers, probably 40 or 50.
Are those mostly men to women?
Yeah, men to women, basically. It's much harder to make a... pulled in a hole, so
right.
As far as that goes. So.
What I like about him. Yeah, so it's much harder to go from a woman to a man.
Exactly. So what happens is the female-to-male transsexuals, generally, they just get their breast surgery done, and most of the time, they do not get anything done with their genitals. Mm-hmm. To get a large size penis to reconstruct that is huge surgery. Basically, it's microsurgery, and it takes 12 to 15 hours.
How does it work? I mean, then what is the percentage? So is it 90% of the people that undergo the genital reassignment surgery are going from male to female? Is it something that in that order?
It's probably over 90% goes from
male to
female.
So it's almost exclusively guys becoming women.
Right. You know, I do see a lot of women to men who come in who have breasts, and they have to wear this binder that compresses their breasts, and it's horrible. I mean, they come in the office 100 degrees out, and they got this binder on, sweating like crazy. It's horrible. They can't go to the beach. They can't go to the swimming.
So you remove their breasts?
Yeah, so I remove their breasts and contour their chest so that they have a male chest.
I was having a nice laugh when he did Loveline over his Jewish parents footing the bill for med school for this. For this, so we have another Dr. Mengele in the family. Fantastic. Your parents must be humiliated by your work, by the way.
Actually, my mother is probably listening right now. She loves it.
Oh, please. She's learned to love it. She's gotten used to it. It's like when your son tells you he's gay, you're shocked and horrified, and then 10 years later, it's like, all right, I've learned to live with it. That's what this is.
Actually, a lot of the things that I do, not just the gender things, a lot of things I do are truly life-changing surgeries.
Because a lot of people are very self-conscious about their area down there, and a lot of stuff is not aesthetically pleasing as God made them, right?
That's right, or dysfunctional or whatever. So there's a lot of surgeries can be done to both improve the aesthetic appearance and the function. There's a lot of congenital problems and acquired problems.
I have a friend who's a urologist, and he said he has removed wangs just with a pair of scissors. Is that true? Have you ever done that? Just take it right off.
As a plastic surgeon, we don't quite make it pretty.
Really?
Yeah.
What kind of urologist just takes a rusty pair of scissors out of the kitchen drawer?
He lives in the backwoods of Indiana, so maybe they do it differently. But
I have seen a couple patients that have done it to themselves,
wow.
And I actually have reconnected one patient who amputated his own penis on a drug trip, and he and a friend of mine at UCLA, Dr. Watson, we reconnected it, and he's functional, has normal sensation, and is functional.
So when you go from male to female, walk us through the procedure.
Well, obviously, these patients have undergone years of trials themselves in their life, but to be able to have the surgery, they really have to live as a female for a year,
as
a female. Mm-hmm. They have to be on hormones, female hormones, and they have to see a psychiatrist or a therapist who vouches for the fact that they truly are transgender.
And then you must see a note from their therapist or psychiatrist?
I have to see notes from two therapists that validate.
Now, this is the part that always puts a smile on my face, because the definition of insanity is you wanting to get your junk lopped off. It's catch 22. It is the greatest example of catch 22. You are not fit to undergo this surgery because this surgery involves lopping off your wang. Thus, you're nuts. Thus, you can't get the surgery done. After a year of speaking to someone, we decided they're sane enough to undergo this surgery where they get their junk cut off. And Dr. Alter always fires back with, he's providing a service. This is what these people, this is what they want to do. This is how they want to live. But then I say to him, what if I said to you my right arm was possessed and I kept punching myself in the face with it? Would you take my right arm off?
No, we'd put you in the insane asylum.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
This is not different than that.
I would argue it makes you even more nuts than your right arm being possessed. I can't stop writing bad checks, and I can't stop punching myself in the face with my right arm. Please remove it.
That can be treated psychiatrically.
That's right. Okay. Psychiatric treatment. That's what I'm talking about.
I think the bottom line, though, doctor, is are the people happier after you've reassigned them?
Yes. Initially, in the 60s, when sex changes started being done, the patients were not screened adequately and did not have a lifestyle trial. But so it got a bad name. But now, I must say they are incredibly happy. If you're careful to only operate on the true transsexuals and the ones that have really passed.
So a year of living that way.
Yes.
What is, if we scan the brain, did a functional MRI of this person, would it look different?
No, it would look the same. But what they're finding is they're doing some studies of some patients who are transgenders or whatever. And they are seeing perhaps some changes with hormonal, hormonal changes, et cetera. Don't know exactly what causes transsexualism. It may be a hormonal effect in utero. It may be environmental. They don't know exactly what.
But either way, would it be like your sexual proclivity? Like, listen, you're gay, and that's it?
No, it's not a gay or straight. Because
no, I don't mean gay or straight. I just mean whatever it is, whether it's nature or nurture, whether it was weirdo stepdad or whether you came out of the womb that way. Either way, that's where you're at. And now let's cut your junk off. Yes? And then a lot of people, the interesting thing is a lot of the guys become women and then hook up with women.
I'd say there are gay transsexuals and straight transsexuals. In other words, if you have a male to female, a lot of them may subsequently still like females, but some of them like males. And what I find is when you talk to a lot of them, they often say that they don't judge a person by their gender anymore. They kind of judge them by the person they are and by the relationship they keep. So the sex per se for some of them is not as important as what, you know, what the relationship they have with that other person.
Can I ask you this or suggest this? I'm not sure how many transsexuals I've had sex with. It could be into the hundreds. I don't know. The work is done so cleanly these days. It's just hard to tell. And you know, there's always that sort of moral issue, like, do you tell the person? Do you tell the truck driver you get with 5 years after you had the surgery that, in fact, you were formerly a man? Does he need to know? Does he deserve to know? It's a moral issue. Here's what I would suggest. You know, when you're going to buy an automobile, if the car has been totaled, they have to tell you.
If it has
been pulled out of the swamp, if it caught on fire and got repainted, reupholstered, and redone, still, they have to tell you, this car is salvage. It has salvage on the title. I want salvage on the birth certificate. That way, as a trucker, I know what I'm getting into.
Well,
How about in the form of a plaque? That in the form of a plaque right on the belly.
Okay.
So I don't miss it.
I would say that most who undergo the surgery tell their partners or their husbands or wives or whatever. But I do have many patients in my practice who are married whose husbands do not know that
they're married.
Really? You can't tell.
Well, you know, there are some that are actually incredibly feminine and actually very pretty.
And their husbands have no idea that they were men.
Or the wife doesn't think the husband knows.
That's got to be a nice conversation. Honey, I have something I need to tell you about. I get it. You had a little affair before we got married with an old boyfriend.
No.
You've taken money out of the joint account to buy some jewelry on the QVC?
No, but I did take something off of...
Well, sweetie, I'm madly in love with you. You're the best woman I've ever met. I can't imagine what you could say that would ever change that.
What'd you do?
Did you take the Explorer out, not put gas in it or something?
No. You know I'm good about that. I don't
understand then. What could it be?
I lopped off my wang.
you stopped taking the herb, Ma Wang?
No, my penis. I cut it off. I had it cut off. And it's gone. And about 12 years ago, I had it.
That would just be an endless trail of vomit. I wouldn't stop. That's how. Yeah, I would die vomiting.
Really?
What happened to Carl? He turned inside out. His ass came out of his mouth.
So if you had sex with somebody who used to be a man,
I would never stop vomiting.
Do you want to have a catch with my penis?
It would never stop.
But Dr. Alter's work is so good that you never know.
There, I'd say that the work is certainly a lot better. Than
all right, well, let me ask a hypothetical, and maybe this will open up the phone lines for a new segment called Hypothetical Question. But fellas, be honest. You'll be anonymous. Use a fake name. Give us a call, 866-901-ADAM. We'll do it after the break. But this just popped in my head. As a guy, you have to hook up with sexually one-nighter. Super smoking hot transsexual Dr. Alter, his best work ever. He did it 5 years ago, all the hormone stuff. Maybe the dude was Brazilian, so he didn't have a lot of back hair to begin with. Tan, long and lean. He did a great job. Or a pig of a woman. She was born a woman, and now she's two of them.
Mind bender.
Yes. And by the way, we should say that, Doctor, you also do cosmetic procedures. I know we're going to break, but
yeah,
briefly,
but that's not humiliating.
I know.
Yeah.
But I asked him about the injectable nose job where they put a little Restylane or something in there, and he said, don't bother.
No.
Well, no, I didn't say that, Teresa.
What did you say to Teresa? Because she's obsessed with her nose.
I'll go home and get your f***ing shine box.
That's what he said.
I would say, I said to Teresa that it might help it a little bit, but if she really is totally obsessed with it, it's not going to make a major difference.
Well, no magic pills. It's like anything. Right. If you really have a problem, there's no cream that's going to fix it. You got to go under the knife. Would you say Teresa's a good candidate for a nose job?
Teresa's a very, very pretty lady.
Nah. I'll take that as a yes. He just screamed yes. And he called you fat, too.
That was an attack.
That was nothing short of
an attack.
All right, so Dr. Gary Alter in studio. We need to take a break. But give us a call and be honest. I'll answer the question myself.
I'll ask Dave Ruskin.
Brian to do it as well. Remember, do you have sex with the piping hot transgendered Brazilian, formerly dude, one night stand, or do you do it with the, well, remember Peggy?
850 pound
Peggy. Pathway, Brian, that is so inappropriate.
She
you laughing is more inappropriate than me
now
putting it up there.
Oh. Brian's nervous because he knows that he's the prime candidate for the reassignment surgery. A wig and some boobs. He's a woman.
We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back after this.
This is the Adam Carolla Show. Here's a crank call from the Crank Yankers Vault.
This is Bonnie.
Are you the manager?
I am.
Wonderful. I was in there a few days ago, and a young woman was helping me. I was shopping for my mother.
Uh-huh.
And I spoke to the salesperson, who was quite helpful, until I asked them in the nicest possible way if they would eat a used tissue for $500 U.S. And I was not only rebuffed...
Are you crazy?
I was in... I'm very wealthy, and I'm quite
bored. I don't care if you're wealthy or not. If one of my people had a problem with you asking them a question
exactly.
like that...
Exactly. Is that not the most insulting thing you can imagine?
No, I would not... that you would even ask an employee of mine that.
Exactly. They treated me like...
Exactly. They should have treated you worse if you asked them to eat a used tissue, you're a nutcase.
Well, they didn't need to swallow it. Just chew it up for a little bit.
Chew it, not swallow it.
Yeah.
Give Adam a call at 866-901-ADAM. Now here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, he's back. Dr. Gary Alter in studio. A favorite of mine. I love him because he's a genius, but he's mad. He's a mad scientist.
I appreciate that.
He's a board certified in urology and in plastic surgery. That must, you know, from the time you leave high school to the time you get certified in both those disciplines, there must be 22 years of schooling in between.
Well, I actually practiced urology for a while, and then I went back and trained to become a plastic surgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a break in the action, so to speak.
Did you see a need? Like, when you go down there, did you think people need plastic surgery down there?
Well, actually, that's interesting that you say that, because when I was a urologist, I was doing some reconstructive urological surgeries. And there was a definite, I saw as a urologist that I didn't have some skills. And then I also saw that certain problems were not being addressed, both urologically and gynecologically. And I felt that if I became a plastic surgeon, I could, it's like you're the first guy in a new field.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you're the only guy thinking about things, you're going to come up with some ideas if you're somewhat creative. So that's what happened. I went into plastic surgery.
It's like that commercial, what's your penis doing in my peanut butter? Or something like that. It's been a while, but I seem to recall. Well, now, what do you, like for a penis enlargement?
Well, I really don't do those anymore.
But you certainly know those who do.
I do.
Do they work now?
I have a real problem with the girth surgeries because what happens with
it's
those...
tearing you up, huh?
Is what?
Oh, doctor.
Tearing you apart.
Yeah.
No, the girth, yes. The girth. You have a problem with girth.
Yeah. Well, because what happens is doctors either inject fat or they put in some artificial tissues. And
the tissue, by the way, that when you put the sticker on your driver's license, it says donor. And you think you're going to give a kidney to a retarded kid in Alabama after you buy it on a moped. It's going to some Israeli guy's joint.
Is it cadaver tissue?
Yes.
Man.
Wait, how about they give you a little heads up on that at the DMV next time they're asking you to go ahead and donate your organs
heads
and do the
right
thing? Little heads up. This may be on some guy's dork who's tooling around Beverly Hills banging a secretary. Believe me, your legacy will continue.
I think,
believe
doctor,
you me.
Doctor, you mostly work on labial problems, right? Like women with droopy labia?
I developed an operation to...
I don't know.
No, I developed an operation to reduce the size of the inner lips of the vagina.
Have you seen some strange stuff down there with the labia?
The strangest are some of the surgeries that were done to reduce them, which can cause a lot
more
of terrible... distorted problems.
So it's the inner labia extending out past the outer.
Correct. That's
like, how long are we talking for labia?
Well, it's in the eye of the beholder, but in
literally,
I've seen some incredibly.
It's actually hitting them in the eye. Yeah. It's that big.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I've seen some very long ones.
Like,
I mean,
you seen that Outback Bloomin' Onion commercial?
Yes.
Yeah. No, an inch or two, even.
An inch or two.
Out.
And,
yeah, I
going
mean, I've
for,
seen some
oh.
very,
now,
very
for those
much.
For the fellas who don't have any children yet, is it true what they say that the woman's vagine is just destroyed by birth?
It can get stretched out,
but
by
they sew it up.
Vaginal delivery. It still gets stretched
it's never
out.
The same.
Is that true, doctor?
That's pretty much true in most of the cases.
Wow. So wow. I went C-section.
Too late.
That's why C-sections are one of the reasons.
No, that's my thing. I love that part
more.
So much. We're actually having sex while the kids were coming out. I said, I'm not going to waste an opportunity.
You could do that.
Pants don't come off that often. And you'll be tending to the kids in a few days. I got to make hay while the sun shines. Move out, doctors. Clear the way. T-Man's coming through. That's right. I cut that cord. I cut it with my...
You're telling me women will have a C-section just to keep their vagina intact?
Some women will.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Dr. Alter, your real name, walk us through, and we have a lot of phone calls for my hypothetical question, which is, do you have sex with the super hot transgendered chick or the disgusting pig who works at your office? You know in advance. You have to make a decision. I don't think it's a layup. I'm very interested in the answer, but just to go back to the procedure because it's endlessly fascinating to me. Let's say I want to become a woman and I get the paperwork done and I come see you and now it's time to start the surgical part of the transition into becoming a woman. What is our first move?
You want me to go step by step in the operation?
Yeah, is the first move that you... What do you do what I have?
Well, let me... what I do is the vagina is made out of the skin of the penis,
mm-hmm.
and it's made out of skin from the scrotal sac.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's a little pixie dust in there. It's not all just skin and flesh.
And unicorn bone.
That's right. So we use what I have.
Right. Now, a clitoris and the head of the penis, basically, the clitoris and the penis are the same organs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So what I do is I save a portion of the head of the penis and keep all the nerves.
Sure.
So that the woman then has a clitoris that functions just like a normal clitoris.
Mm-hmm. Except that it looks like a penis.
No, it's pretty. It looks like a small clitoris. So,
honey, you're whizzing out of your clitoris, though, doesn't that?
No, the urethra, the urinary channel, is cut back.
Okay.
So that,
your clitoris
well, actually,
has a boner.
He brings up a good point about whizzing. What about ejaculating?
Well, what happens is that the woman has been on testosterone.
Right.
I mean, it's been on estrogens, which dries up a lot of the prostate secretions, but still might ejaculate a little bit.
Oh, that's got to be pleasant.
That is a tell.
Unaware partner. That's what they call a tell.
Not much. Very, very little fluid. Very little fluid, if at all, would come out.
All right. Do you see why his parents are disgusted at his chosen profession?
Yes, I do.
So proud at one moment, you know, when a young 19-year-old Dr. Gary came home and announced he wanted to be a doctor. So proud. It has now turned into this. So now how does the scrotum get utilized?
Well, the skin, a lot of the skin is used for the vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the remaining skin is actually used to make the outer lips or the labia majora.
And when it's all said and done,
look at see on my website, see what it looks like.
Yeah.
And then the leftovers are used for a handsome necklace.
What
AlterMD.com.
When we see that, can you tell the difference between one that was formerly a man and one that was born that way?
Well, let me just state that most men have no clue what they're looking at.
That's a good point.
Okay, so you take the average man would not know the difference on a well done sex change
until the ejaculation.
Well, there's very little consequences.
Wow. So
what you're saying is it's that good. But a guy that really knows the anatomy would know that there's something that's not quite right there.
Okay, but most guys it's not dark. He's had a few beers.
Yeah, you could change your entire hair color, and a guy you're living with might not notice for weeks.
All right, so back to my hypothetical question. We'll ask the guys in studio, but first we'll go to the phone. So here it is. Because there is a stigma and there is a psychological component to this, I would be a little bit freaked out by it, but the question is, sexually, and you know in advance, you don't find out afterward, you take a long Brazilian man. I think Brazilian would be the best way to go. They're dark, they're tall, and they're hairless. You go Brazilian guy, gets made by Dr. Alter, one of his finest creations, into a beautiful woman. Do you have sex?
And you know going in. Why? Because maybe wears her testicles as earrings now or something like that.
They're her vagina.
Or they're honest for the sake of the hypothetical, or do you want to just pick someone like Joan Rivers? God bless her, she's funny, but she's getting a little long in the tooth. I don't think anyone would want to have sex with her.
Star Jones.
All right, let's go Star Jones. Her or Star Jones, or he or Star Jones. Mm-hmm. Let's start with Kevin. Kevin?
Hi.
What do you think?
I don't have an opinion on it. I got to tell you a story. My buddy's hitchhiking 15 or 17 years ago in Europe. He gets picked up by a gorgeous, stunning girl. He says, you know, what are you doing for dinner tonight? She goes, well, if you really want to see me, read my book first. It's Tula. I don't know if you remember.
Oh, I've seen her on Tula. Donahue. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She was in Playboy, I think, 15 or 17 years ago, anyway. Mm-hmm. So he reads the book, and she was born a hermaphrodite. And, of course, she had a couple of operations. I don't know if your doctor did them.
And he hooks up with her.
He married her.
Wow.
He married her.
That transcends our hypothetical question. But she was born a hermaphrodite. She was not born a man. So it's the blow is softened a little bit. But still, I want to get the answers to this hypothetical. Cody?
Hey, how's it going?
Who are you going to take?
As much as I love Brazilians, I'm always down for a fatty.
So you go Star Jones or Rosie over the Brazilian that was formerly a man?
Oh, yeah, I've already done it before. I'm a professional wingman, so I'm kind of used to the fatties.
Okay.
Chubby chaser.
So enjoy. Yeah, there's a certain percent of society that's just into that. Roberto?
Yeah, I'm going with the tranny.
You're going with the tranny. Takes an honest man to admit that.
Yeah, I like that.
That's right. If she's smoking hot. So basically, my choices are either smoking, piping hot, or just straight up ugly. I'm going with smoking hot.
Yeah, but what if, you know, again, this is something you've been told of in advance, and, you know, sometimes things run through your mind in the middle of the act. I mean, what if it was something you were thinking about while you were doing it?
Yeah, because this beautiful, beautiful woman, like, used to play on your T-ball team. It was a dude.
Well, that would probably make it a little bit more difficult. That would probably cause a little complication. But
you still go hot tranny. All right, so what are we, 1-1?
Yeah, 1-1.
Luke?
Yeah, I had an experience where I watched Nip-Tuck. It was disgusting. So I take Jabba the Hutt if it was a female.
I see.
Over the tranny.
That's another thing. Yes, we got bleeped out there, but Luke said that he saw a transsexual on Nip Tuck and pleasured himself and then found out at the end. I think you could be compensated for that.
Really? Like emotional damages?
I would argue that it took 3 or 4 sessions with a therapist to work that one out.
What's the problem?
I'd like you to foot the bill for it.
Is that you then feel gay? I'm confused. It wouldn't be a big deal.
Guys are very... Dr. Alter, please back me up on this. Guys have a certain amount of... We're more delicate than you may think with our sexuality. It seems very straightforward until we get into issues like this, and then all of a sudden... We're delicately wired, yes?
I think there's a lot of homophobia associated.
That's what I heard from that caller, for sure.
All right, let's...
Well, what it is, Ace, is that we're more choosy, as it turns out, than women are. Women will find Tony Soprano an attractive man. They go for power. We go purely for the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
True?
Yeah.
I think that's why I think I would maybe have to go with the tranny. Although I'd throw it in her pail.
What? I'm confused.
Oh, sweet irony.
And that's less gay?
Adam?
Yeah?
You going to take the tranny too, it says?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Well, I mean, at this point in my life, it's going to be a bet with my friends, and I'll have large sums of money after the act is completed.
I hate to admit it, but I'm going Brazilian tranny too. I agree. With Dave, by the way. Simultaneously.
So you would do the Brazilian tranny in the...
Well, Dave is going
to
be...
that's why we're able to do it.
Dave's going to be in the trunk. I'd like to get under the hood.
Right. We want to be able to make eye contact all the time. Like, if you tell anybody about this, I'm telling on you.
And I'll tell you this, Alter. We would give that work of yours a real run for its money. I'd be like the Samsonite gorilla with that thing. Really making sure this was top-notch quality. Because I don't want the vagina breaking down 3 years into the marriage.
It's sturdy, right, when it's all done?
Oh, yes.
You offer a warranty?
How many miles or years or what?
I haven't had any that came back with a problem.
No recalls, huh?
It's really rare.
So, I am so endlessly fascinated with this. First off, I never posed this question to myself, and I'm almost... I think I'm sad and surprised to suggest that, yes, I would rather be with the tranny.
Because let me ask you this. What's the psychological damage if you have sex with Star Jones?
I don't know, but if you're a heavy-set, unattractive woman and you're listening, you should drive off a bridge right now because this is how sad it... This is what it's come down
to. This is really
shocking. A guy would rather be with a Brazilian guy who used to be a dude than you. That is pathetic.
Men are visual creatures, right, Dr. Alter? That's how they're wired.
Men are very visual, and the point you have to say is that transsexual is actually thinks of herself as being a woman. Mm-hmm. And is actually a woman in everything except for chromosomes. So,
can I ask you this quickly before we wrap up? What about the female impersonators? Dr. Drew always had a theory. It was the only entertaining theory he ever had in 11 years. I swear to Christ. It's the only thing he ever said where I went, wow, yeah, it is something. He thinks people like Pam Anderson are female impersonators, in a sense. They're guys who are obsessed with being women, but what about the women that are obsessed with becoming women, in a certain sense? Big, fake boobs, high heels everywhere, you know what I'm saying?
Exaggerated feminine features.
I don't know how to respond to that. I mean,
how about honestly?
Yeah, I mean, some women are just more into using their sexuality, their femininity to get what they want. And I think you have a woman like Pam Anderson or whatever, and she knows she's very appealing to men and probably to women too, and she just uses it to the max.
Do you think it's a syndrome in a sense, though?
I never even thought about it before.
You're too busy thinking about cutting off wings to focus on that kind of stuff.
He's got labias to trim. Got to
prioritize. Dr. Gary Alter, I'm a big fan, and I really, half-hour talking to you is not enough.
I wish you would never leave.
Well, I think we should have you back on a more regular basis because not only can we make fun of you for your profession, but you can give actual advice to people that want to have procedures done, not just the radical stuff, but nose jobs and boob jobs and all that other good stuff. Dr. Gary Alter, go to altermd.com to find out more about his work. He's truly a genius. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with a recap of our hillbilly family that called in. The mother passed away. Peggy, 850-pound woman, passed away. They need money for the funeral. It's dicey. We'll cut through it after this.
Less ads, more Adam. You asked for it. The Adam Carolla Show. Recently on the Adam Carolla Show, Adam spoke with Peggy, the 800-pound woman from Tennessee, whose husband and daughter were charged with neglect and incest. Yesterday, Peggy's other daughter called in.
Do you have some news for us?
My mom just passed away, and now we're trying to get the money and stuff up to burial. When she passed away, she weighed 850-something pounds.
850-something pounds?
She did have life insurance, but when she gave the money to Charles to pay for the life insurance, he did not pay for it.
I think we can get the money together for the funeral arrangements of your mom.
And that's where you come in. We're raising the money to help pay for the funeral. If you want to chip in, give us a call at 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Sad story, but it does remind me how much I love Funeral for a Friend by Elton John. That's what we're listening to in the background. It's an epic song, yeah.
Always able to find the silver lining.
Yes. Well, Peggy was only 53 when she passed. She was a young woman.
Young for a 130-pound woman, old for an 850-pound woman. It's called morbid obesity for a reason. Amber, who's now blessed with twins, society isn't, but her belly is.
Yes.
Blessed with twins, is on the phone. Amber?
Yes.
So we're trying to raise some money for your mother so she can get a proper burial. But it's more expensive to bury an 850-pound person than it is to bury a 150-pound person, right?
Yes.
Although, do they give discounts for kids?
No.
I know it sounds morbid, but, you know, you go into the car wash, it's like $8 for a sedan, $12 for a van. But I think when I pull in with my Mini Cooper, why isn't it $6? I'm using your math against you. If you got to bury a kid, you should get a break, right?
Yeah.
So you get, it takes two plots, not just a single plot, right?
Yeah. And I think, well, what we understand, they might take a half of a third one. I ain't sure.
Half of a third plot. Just sort of like when you need two airline seats.
Yeah.
So she takes up 2.5 plots at the cemetery.
Except for the planes going to heaven. Possibly.
Huh?
Point is, and then you have to have a custom casket made as well, right?
Yes.
Now you say you don't want to go the cremation route.
Right. It's against the Catholic rules.
Right. Although...
Are you sure about that?
Sound effects guy Brian says no.
That's how I was raised.
Right. I know you have, a very strong moral compass, and you're very deep into your faith.
My mom was terrified of fire.
Oh, I see. So it's not so much that she was Catholic. Your mom was afraid of fire.
Yeah.
I see. So that's... Yeah, everyone's afraid of fire, though. I mean, no, duh. But by the way, Amber, you're pregnant with twins, right?
Yes.
Are you married?
No, not yet. I'm fixing
the interesting. No problem as far as the faith goes with that. Sort of picking and choosing your
battles. Can hear her fiancé, by the way, is obviously
is
talking
he
into her ear. You can hear her him feeding her.
That's
lines.
Right. Cletus, the high-paid diesel mechanic, is behind her.
There he is.
He ain't a diesel mechanic. He's a car mechanic. Certified mechanic on cars.
Okay. We'll talk to him in a second. Now, so Amber, you were molested by the guy who your mom married who ended up molesting your other sister and then nieces and nephews as well, correct?
Yes.
All right. Have you got any counseling for that?
No.
Aren't you scared that maybe you may take some of that and lay it on to your twins after they're born?
No.
Right. So you feel like in Cletus, the certified mechanic, you've got a winner there who could never molest or do anything bad to your children.
Yes.
But he has been in trouble with the law, right?
Yes.
And he does have three other children?
Yes.
But yet you think this guy's a good candidate to raise your children?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And does he talk to his other children?
Yes.
And they're in another state?
Yes.
Okay.
We get them through the summer and all.
What's that?
We get them through the summer and all, you know, on Christmas and stuff.
Okay, so summer and holidays, you have his kids.
Yes.
Oh, you say Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you owe me $10, Damashek. Damashek said Hanukkah. I said Christmas. Fork it over, buddy. Well, when you're wrong, you're wrong.
I'm curious. Can I ask, Amber, your mom was with this guy who allegedly molested you and your sister, and I know your mom passed, but yes. You must have some mixed feelings towards her for allowing that.
Yes, I do.
But you still want to give her a proper burial.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have Donna Vaughn on the phone. She works or owns the Spring City, Tennessee funeral home, right?
Yes, she does.
Donna?
Yes.
So you are willing to help us out?
I sure am.
First off, logistically, how does it work when a person gets over a certain size?
It takes a special casket that they're not custom made. There's a factory here in Tennessee that makes those caskets, even bigger than the one we're going to have to use for Peggy. So,
So they're manufactured.
Yes, they are.
And do they go up incrementally every 200 pounds or something
no,
like that?
It's not based on the weight. It's based on the size, on the width and the depth. And so, you know, we can probably...
How wide is that and how deep?
It's a good question.
Well, the casket we're going to use is 36 inches wide inside.
So it's 3 feet?
Doesn't seem that wide.
No.
Brusca's ass is bigger than that.
How deep is it?
The depth probably is about, I think about 24, 25 inches, something like that. So.
Well, not that big, but I imagine you could still take a lot of person to fill that thing up.
How much money is this going to cost us? Because we're trying to raise the money up, so I mean...
Well, like I told your family when they came in, that I will do it for
$5,000. $5,000?
And that's for the casket, for the services, and any transportation, things like that.
Okay. Cheaper, by the way, the family, Amber's family, reminds me of the family from Million Dollar Baby, if anyone ever saw that
movie.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Amber agrees.
You agree, Amber?
Yeah.
Okay. So now... Do we need two plots, Donovan?
No, not necessarily, because the casket is 36, so a normal plot is 36.
Okay, because that would have told me they might need to use two.
Well, this is before her actual weight, when she was weighed at the medical examiner's office, was 550 pounds.
500, okay.
Oh, 550.
550, so that makes quite a difference.
Do you have her body there at the funeral home?
No, ma'am, we don't. It just was released from the medical examiner's office and will be brought to us probably tomorrow.
Okay, when is the funeral and everything, Saturday?
That I don't know. We've got to get back with your family and with the priest and with the people that volunteered to dig the grave.
Hey, you're going to have volunteer grave diggers.
Supposedly there's a friend with a backhoe that volunteered. If not, well then...
It'd be nice if we could get the professional wrestler, the grave digger.
True.
Or is that the monster truck?
That's the Undertaker.
Yeah, the monster truck's the grave digger. Well, so Donna, a few more questions here.
Certainly.
I'm not a religious man, so I don't know. But you ever bury anyone standing up?
No.
Seems like you could save some space.
Well, you know, that may come someday, but not today.
Why not be buried on your feet, if you think about it?
Well,
I like to be in the ready position, you know?
Yeah, you know, here in the South, we're a little bit traditional, so.
I see. And what about cremation? I know that's not an option for Amber.
No.
And now, Amber, I don't want to make light of it, but...
Because of the size.
Well, that's the part I want to know, too. But, Amber, you say your mother was scared of fire.
Yes, she's a Catholic.
I'm also guessing she was scared of being buried under 8 feet of earth, if you really think about it. I mean, I'm scared of fire, but if we're going to use that math and that logic, I'm also scared of being put in a box and buried.
Well, you're not buried that deep, so.
Oh, I only go 6 foot?
4.5.
Oh, I'll claw my way out of that.
Yeah, I believe you can.
No problem.
Well, Catholics...
You gotta be like Kill Bill 2.
Catholics allow cremation.
Yes, they do. They used to, they didn't, but in the last, has it been 20 years, I guess they have.
Okay. And what is the max on the pizza oven? Because Kimmel has one in his backyard. I'm just thinking out loud here.
No,
someone
good.
Told me yesterday the maximum was 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever buried anybody 550 before, Donna?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the embalming process and all that.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's got to be extra fluid and extra time and all that stuff, right?
Yes, it is.
All right. But you guys are generously doing this at cost.
Yes, we are.
All right.
Yes, we are. We've dealt with this family for years. I've buried a lot of their family.
Yeah,
and
my aunt, like...
Your grandparents and things like that.
Yeah, it's been 2 years and 2 weeks from when my mom just died.
Well, Amber, do you have an outfit picked out for your mom?
No, I do not. My sister's taking care of that.
How... the process is so bizarre to me. I don't know how you get an outfit. I have a 3.5-month-old son who weighs 18 pounds. I can barely get his jammies on him without three guys and a cherry picker. I don't know how the hell you put a sundress on a 550-pound corpse.
Very
you have to
carefully.
Cut it and drape it? And you
very
must,
carefully.
But you can't pull on pants and stuff, can you? I mean, you must have to just drape it over, right?
Most of the time, that's what we use, yes.
Open casket?
I don't know yet. I haven't seen her. That's something that I'll have to assess when she arrives here.
I don't like the open casket one. That I just want to say goodbye.
I really wish they would open the casket.
You want to see her mom?
Yes, I do.
I'll tell you my policy.
I want to put some pictures and stuff in there with her.
Here's the policy at the Ace Man's funeral. Closed casket, open bar.
That's even better.
Drink up, fellas. You'll not be seeing any corpses today. There's something to toast to. Hey, this guy was heavily insured. So let's clank our glasses together.
We never found out. Did your mom die suddenly? Do we know exactly what she died of other than morbid obesity?
I don't know. We don't know yet.
All right. So we have $5,000 in between you getting your mom buried and where we're at now, right?
Huh?
We need to raise $5,000. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Now, Father of the Year, the guy to your right over there whose seed is growing in your belly as we speak, even
He's
though
on
there's,
the phone too.
There's no ring on your finger. Oh, Cletus, are you on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
You announced to me when we spoke a few weeks ago that you make a ton of cash.
I make a living.
Well, you said you made twice as much as I do, and I do pretty well.
Well, I make a living.
All right, you make a living. Why aren't you at work?
Because everything that's going on with the family and stuff. You know, wouldn't you be there with your girlfriend or your wife or whatever?
No. Sorry, honey, if you're listening. As a matter of fact, my wife's mom died last night, and I said, screw it, I'm going to work.
She'd want you to.
That's the way she'd want it.
I don't feel like getting cut off.
I understand. Sorry, brother.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I you don't want to get cut off sexually?
Wow.
Oh, that's right.
That's what we call a callback.
I like that. Now, pregnant with twins and still hitting that, huh?
Well, you know, pregnant women make better levels, though.
Is that true?
Yeah, you ain't got to worry about knocking them up.
Oh.
The more you know. The more you know. So if you went to work, for instance, you may get cut off sexually. I understand.
Well, you know.
Rico Suave.
Why don't you marry Amber?
I am.
When's that?
As soon as her TB dries up.
It'll probably around Christmas time. You're thinking about a Christmas wedding.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
Will the twins have been born by then, or she'll be pregnant during the...
She still should be pregnant probably about, like, in about 1 month, you know, somewhere now.
Okay. All right. So do you have any money that you can, you want to talk about getting cut off, not contributing to the funeral financially?
Well, believe me, I didn't put money in.
For the funeral, Cletus?
Yeah.
Where?
You know, we had to pay for it to get transported to Nashville, get the autopsy and everything.
I haven't seen any
of that. Uh-oh. Donna begs to differ. Donna, you don't think he's been stepping up financially?
Well, not to me.
No. Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting point, Cletus. You do make a living. You're a certified mechanic. You have some money. How about dipping into the piggy bank?
I have. What I'm telling you. You know, I gave it to her other sister and everything, the one taking care financially, the dress
you mean,
and everything else. That, you know,
everything but me, Adam's what he's doing.
I see. All right.
And I'm the one that expense here, so.
No love lost between these two morbid warriors, I'll tell you that right now. Donna can smell a Cletus coming a long way down the road. All right, well, listen, like I said, Cletus, last time we spoke, you said you made you were flush with cash, and now it's time to step up. All right. Now, you must also have to pay for your other children as well, right?
Yeah, I do.
How much does that set you back a month?
I pay $150 every 2 weeks.
So that's $300 a month?
Every week, yeah.
For all three of the kids?
Yeah.
Well, that's a bargain.
Well, you know, with a good enough lawyer, you know, you get, you know, they base it on your income.
So that's $200 a kid a month. Not bad.
You know.
All right. All right. So, Cletus, you are going to contribute what you can, but we're going to contribute the rest. We're going to try to raise the $5,000.
I appreciate it.
Well, how much is Cletus going to put in?
It's a good point.
I done put in a little over 1,000. What did I put in?
No, I'm saying for the 5,000. We need 5,000. How much of the 5,000 will you put in?
He said one.
I done put in 1,000. What I'm saying of the $5,000.
Okay. No, you haven't.
But so, I don't know if it made it to the funeral home or not. That's what I gave to it.
Lost in the mail?
Checks in the mail.
Well, is it?
All right, so you swear you'll put $1,000 into the pot.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. We're going to work this out. One of the ideas was to raise several...
Yeah, we're trying car washes and everything. The rest of the family is not me and Amble.
They're trying to raise money via car washes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you know.
What about her husband? Is he putting in any money, Charles?
He's in jail.
Hmm. I see.
Thought he was out.
Now, does he have a trial coming up, or do
he's
we know?
He's getting out Saturday to go to the funeral. That's all I know.
Oh, he'll be at the funeral.
We don't know if he will or not.
Well, he molested you. Why is he invited?
Well, see, he molested the other one, too, that he's with. You know, he ain't invited. He's done it in front of Peggy and everything else.
Yeah.
Why would he be at the funeral of the
we
woman?
We don't know if he's going to. He's getting out of jail Saturday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you it's know? Uncomfortable when an ex shows up at a wedding every once in a while.
Well,
some
you know,
guy.
There'll probably be fights and everything else, so.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you the good thing, Cletus. You get hold of that shovel before he does and go at him. You know, you got it. The shovel will be nearby.
Right.
Well, he did molest your wife when she was 6 years old. I mean... Obviously, I you know, we should let the law take care of him, but you must be pretty angry at the guy.
Oh, yes, I am.
Yeah, little frontier hillbilly justice would be in order as well.
Oh, yeah, you know, a good hanging wouldn't hurt nobody.
That's right. And then, look, if you're going to hang someone, do it on the funeral home lot. You know what I mean?
Already
cut out the middleman.
Right.
Very
you.
Convenient. And when you cut him down, you just dig a hole under him and he falls right into it. It's the end of that. All right, Donna, you're a saint. For doing what you're doing.
Yes, Vaughn Funeral Home.
That's
helping
right.
out.
That's right.
Thank you very much. My family has been in business since 1933.
That's right.
And we appreciate you.
I've seen the sign. Shoveling dirt on loved ones for over 75 years.
That's it.
Overcharging for urns.
Do they have... I really... There should be sayings in front of funeral homes. See you later.
There's one.
That'd be mine. That's what I'd say. See you on down the road.
No exit.
No exit. All right. Oh, we laugh because we're uncomfortable. And because it's funny.
We haven't even gotten to, and I know we have to go to break, but the other, Amber's sister, Mary Alice, was having relations with the husband, and we don't know if they're still together or if she's going to be at the funeral. They had relations in front of Peggy.
All I know is Jerry Springer should deliver the eulogy. I mean, this is really, this is off the hizzy, as I like to say. All right, we're going to figure out how to raise some money. We're going to need to call on you guys for this because the woman was tortured in life. She should not be tortured in death.
She deserves to rest in peace.
That's right. We'll take a quick break. I think the devil's going to be calling in. Is that true, Bruska?
Yes, that's right.
Well, we'll speak to him after this.
Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6:30 on Animal Planet, don't watch Animal Cops, San Francisco. Cats are found in a fire-damaged apartment. At 7 on DIY, make sure you miss Grounds for Improvement. A drainage problem is corrected and decorative posts are added to a landscape. and at 9 on Sci-Fi. Don't watch Sasquatch Mountain. The monster comes down from the Arizona mountains to hunt humans caught up in a botched bank robbery. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we had the devil on the line. I don't know what just happened to him. He was due to call in. I think the devil's in San Diego now.
The devil? I thought he went down to Georgia.
Yeah. He did. He buried a fat woman, and then he went off to San Diego.
To star in The Wiz.
Well, the devil was supposed to be on the phone. I saw him on the phone, and then he dropped off. So we will... now it looks like he's back on again. Let's see if we can speak to him.
Oh, yes.
Set up, reset the story. Why are we speaking to the devil this
morning,
Teresa?
Here's the thing. We had to get in touch with the devil because if you saw yesterday, the president of Venezuela, Hugo Chavez, he called President Bush the devil in a speech to the United Nations. He said, the devil came here. It smells like sulfur. And then he used the word the devil to describe Bush no fewer than 8 times. So we thought, let's talk to the devil himself.
All right. If anyone ever did that to me, I wouldn't wage war, but just one bunker buster, just to give him a little taste of the devil's wrath. You know what I mean? Just one well-placed bunker buster. Because my old feeling is, if I ever run this place, it's going to be, you want it, you got it. I wasn't the devil, but now that I am, I'm going sick.
You want to see the devil?
That's right. Just one well-placed bunker buster.
Yes, all the terrorists. Americans are evil. Yeah, you want to see evil.
Let's show you evil. The devil's on the phone, by the way. Beelzebub?
Hello, Adam.
Hello, your Satan ship.
It's always bad to talk to you.
See, that's the way it works in negative.
I like it.
Absolutely. It appears you're already in hell.
Yes, I am.
I've been having to listen to Teresa's never-ending talk show. Game show stories. That's hell.
You were listening in the 7 o'clock hour, huh?
Well, I'm not a fan, if you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, the devil doesn't like me.
I hate you.
I like. See, this
and
is
I mean
a compliment.
That from the bottom of my bottomless soul. Excuse me, I have no soul.
That's right. Sorry, even the devil flubs up every once in a while.
Well, that's a positive where I live.
So, what do you think about Bush? You think he's actually the devil?
Well, you know, it's not like you stole a baby and ate it, which in fact is what I did this morning.
Oh, that's what you do.
Yes. I would say that, you know, when Hugo Chavez said it smelled like sulfur, that's the smell of Jade East here in hell.
Oh, I see.
Oh, absolutely. He's got to be more devilish than that. Of course, he is banging Laura Bush, which is a devilish act.
Yeah, the sulfur to me means who farted. That's what the sulfur.
Or it's, hey guys, I'm here.
Right. Well, how do you feel being brought into this whole debate?
Well, I'm honored. I hate you all for it. it puts me in a bad mood. I think you can read through the lines. But Bush has got to do more evil things. Like, you know, I don't want to brag, but I'm working on this thing for Halloween. I'm trying to... Well, I was thinking of a tsunami for California.
Ooh.
I don't want to toot my own horn, but I'm going now toward an earthquake that will sever the entire state of California and make it an island.
I can't wait. Yeah. Well, so we have that to look forward to.
Well, you know, what I'm saying is, okay, so Bush lied to get us into a little stinky war. You know, Osama bin Laden, he's my pal. Let me put it like that.
Oh, you guys are chums.
Bush drove Air Force One into the offices of your great CBS radio station. That's a devilish act.
So
you're stepping up a notch.
You're saying it's an insult to you to have...
Absolutely.
It would be like some junior college point guard being called Michael Jordan. It's an insult to Michael Jordan. You haven't even made it to the show.
Adam, you read my mind.
Thank you.
Definitely not the devil. You get it?
Yeah.
So the devil, if you're keeping score, no soul, but you do have a mind.
Absolutely. You know, my idea of hell, Adam, that's face first in Teresa's lap. That's hell.
Well, I wish that upon no man.
Nor no beast or man with a tail.
You're saying being tormented for eternity by Teresa's vagina, that is no way to go.
Oh, yeah. No. That, you know what? I may may even do something good to get out of that one.
Just to get out of that, you'd help an elderly woman with her groceries or something.
I'm sorry, my dumbest left.
Oh, wait a minute.
What was it?
The devil broke character.
Are you still in San Diego?
You know what, Adam? I love musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the devil loves The Wiz.
I open next week.
In The Wiz?
Yes, I do. Hold on. Some of my demons are sneaking and sniffing me. Oh, go away, demons! I'm sorry, go ahead.
Do you, can you do a little something from Fiddler on the Roof or Oklahoma?
Well, I don't know that one, but I'll do a little soliloquy from Oklahoma. That's how I got the part out.
Okay.
$50. I have $50. I want that girl, and I'll marry her.
Wait, I'm curious. What? Hey, Devil. Yes. Devil, do you like the musical Rent?
Teresa.
Yes.
You had me at do you like. Absolutely.
You know the funniest part of this phone conversation is not what's going on the air, but it's the confused person in the hotel room next to the devil's room going, what the F is going on there? Because I hear some crazy guy screaming into a telephone. I want to know what's going on.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's just me, the devil.
I understand. You're in hell.
Yeah, okay. Because I'm bad.
Well, Beelzebub, we got to take a break because we're running late.
How dare you, a pox on your house?
Too late. And comedian Dana Gould is going to be in. I know you're...
Before you go, yeah. I'd love to meet the twins and eat them.
The devil, everybody. Calling from all places, San Diego. Dana Gould, comedian Dana Gould out in the hallway. He's coming up. He's going to sit in with the news. T, speaking of the news, what is in the news, Teresa?
Well, will Oprah be running for president? It's in the news, and I'll tell you why. Also, 30% of African-American babies have something in common. I'll tell you what that is.
The devil's appetizer?
No.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
I'm the only person I know that suffers from insomnia. All my other friends, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're curled up in bed. I'm up harassing 976 operators.
Hi, welcome to Party Chat.
I'm in my underwear and I want to talk about death. Don't hang up! I mean, everybody's a little tense, you know. Everybody has that one neurotic friend. What time is it? I'm not gay.
And now, stand-up comedian and writer and producer for The Simpsons, Dana Gould, on The Adam Carolla Show.
Good to see you again, Dana.
Yeah, those are some great clips.
I thought they were funny.
I hate myself so much.
I just saw Dana do stand-up a couple weeks ago, and he was brilliantly funny.
Well, if you want to see him, you can see him at the Irvine Improv today through Sunday. So you can see him tonight and then all the way through the weekend. Or you just go to danagould.com for more information. Yeah, sleeping, waking up, not being able to sleep, it does kind of blow.
It's the worst. It's the worst. Now, you have a newborn, right? So you know what that's like, too.
I have two newborns.
Oh,
they're
twins.
Yeah. The thing that I hate about sleeping is getting up first. I liked it. Once in a while, I remember back in the day, you'd have a roommate, and the roommate had a crappy gig, and he had to get up at the crack of F like we do now, and you'd hear the hairdryer in the distance or the shower running in the distance, and you'd wake up just enough to think, you poor son of a bitch, and you'd go back to sleep again. It feels good. Now I get up, there's the dog, there's the wife, there's the kid, everyone's asleep, and I have to slink off into the night.
Yeah, what used to be with me, because I have little kids now too, so it's... All I have to do is stop moving to fall asleep. But I used to lay, oh, God, you're so exhausted. You've been up for 18 hours, and you lie down, and then suddenly just, boing, boing, boing. What actors in history could play James Bond? Please.
Can't shut your brain off.
Yeah, you're just a monkey mind. Let's see if I can list every toy I've ever had.
It's the curse of intelligent people. Stupid people, they
or
sleep.
Or stupid people who think they're intelligent. Which might be where I fall in.
No, nope. I don't agree, because I think those people sleep like babies.
Yeah, that could be true.
I think the dumber you are, the more like an animal you are, the better you sleep.
Sometimes you'd like lie down and you're trying to fall asleep, and that's when I would remember things that I'd forgotten.
that were really important? Have you ever just like,
yes.
Oh my God, Dad hit me with Hot Wheels track. Yeah. I blanked that out. That's a terrible thing to do.
I know it is. It is weird that you can pull up these crazy things like it's some sort of hopper filled with ping pong balls, and all of them have a chapter of your life. One is Dad hit you with that. The other's weirdo neighbor kid wanted to see your junk. Was he gay? You know, all this stuff, and it's gone. Yeah. It's never around. But once in a while, you're just falling asleep, and boom, somebody, the hot looking chick in the evening gown, pulls the ping pong ball out that says weirdo neighbor on it. You have to think about it before you go to bed.
Your brain starts to explode like Jiffy Pop. Just, hey, wait, I remember that happened.
It would be nice if your brain just sort of worked like a computer, which is once it ran out of memory, it just started throwing out the stuff that happened before the new stuff happened.
Delete files I don't need.
Yeah, I only go back 16 months. That's it. So anything that happened before them, whatever the triumphs, tragedies mostly, all gone. Sweet.
Well, your processor would be faster without all that stuff, right, Dana?
I think so, yeah. That'd be sweet. Yeah. Well, I meet people all the time I have no memory of.
Yes,
hey,
I do too.
Remember me? Sure, you're that guy who's breathing through the mouth and nose.
Yes. I met a guy. I ran into a guy at a sub sandwich shop in Burbank yesterday that I barely went to high school with, meaning he was a grade or two below me. He's probably been following my progress via the radio and TV or whatever, but I barely remembered him from high school. He then brought up somebody I didn't remember from high school, but continued down the path, even though. Now, you ever have this where you go, hey, you remember Sheila O'Connor? She's doing pretty good. Nah, I don't recall that name. Well, she's working as a nurse right now. Yeah, I don't remember. She has three kids, you know. Yeah, I'm... How long are we going to keep going on the person?
Has turned into Hollywood phony.
I don't remember the person.
I lie. I'm so neurotic about, you know, to me, I would hurt his feelings if I didn't remember him. Remember Sheila O'Connor? Yeah. She's doing great. She died on 9/11. No, I knew. But in heaven, I hear she's got a good deal. She
the
works
foundation
for the water department there.
Is doing great. That they.
How about the phone call where you have to feel the person out for a good five or six exchanges before you realize who it is? You ever get that one? Hello? Hey, how's it going? Good. Yeah. What's
you don't
up?
Want to give too much enthusiasm, though.
No, don't get specific. Right. What's up?
Yeah.
What's cooking? You know, little this, little that. How you doing, man? Your cadence is all effed up.
Anyway, let's talk about your student loan, Adam. Oh, gee.
Dana Gould in studio, going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday.
Now,
yes.
If I drive to Irvine, I should leave now. It's like
you should have left a half hour ago. Because you got to be on stage by 8:30
at night.
It's
70 miles away. You got to give yourself 6 hours.
We are going to also do the news, and I think Dana's going to hang in with us and help us crack wise on that, T.
Yes.
You got
I'm
that,
looking
baby
forward
doll?
To. Yeah, again, we're going to discuss Oprah for president. Someone thinks she should run, and that someone, Oprah's not a fan of him. Also, what do 30% of African-American babies have in common?
All right. We will take ourselves a break. Dana Gould in studio. We're going to do news. We're going to do sports. All that after this.
There's more Adam Carolla coming up.
The Adam Carolla Show, eh? Poser.
The Adam Carolla Show. Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, players? It's your homeboy Jack Silver. Hey, hell of a show for you tomorrow. More from our special redneck family. Perez Hilton, Hollywood gossip queen. From Mind Freak, illusionist Chris Angel. And boxing legend Sugar Ray Leonard. Fresca, quit slapping your meat. Great, another week, no boobs. Fantastic. Wait.
Thanks, Jack. Here's Adam on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dana Gould is in studio with us. Dana is going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight through Sunday night. He's going to hang in with the news. Yes, Dana?
I'm ready to go. I had a story that just came in because of the, the E. coli outbreak.
Mm.
Apparently, Popeye has been on the toilet for four straight days.
Wow. Nice.
Nice, got dysentery. Yes.
Well, you know, if it bleeds, it leads, they say. Okay. Now it's a difficult segue, but I'm going to try and make do. The president of Venezuela yesterday at the United Nations went on a little 23-minute speech during which he called President Bush the devil, no less, than 8 times. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, who was not there, later said that Chavez's remarks were, quote, not becoming for a head of state.
Somebody's got to give these guys a little tune-up when they're trying to insult, because I feel like the other countries are a little out of touch. Like, they're like, he lays down with dogs! All right, that's a 3. Douchebag. There's a good one.
Right.
Like, someone has to go over there. Perhaps we'll get a couple black stand-up comics to go over there and just give these guys
some
a little
pointers.
Give them a little 411 on what's really going on. Devil, dog, not even a bad thing, per se. We call each other, you little devil, or hey, dog, and all. It's not good stuff. You guys are living
in
the
60s. You know what even would have been better if they had played this?
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
He was, of course, talking about Saddam Hussein then.
Big Who fan.
Yeah, he was strategery. Plug the Who.
It's like there's a little squirrel that's on one of those little running circles in his head, and it just stops and holds its hands up in the middle of the conversation.
I just work here.
Well, again, go with douchebag if you're a leader of a banana republic and you want to insult.
One thing about the devil real quickly.
Yes.
The devil, and referencing your interview with the devil was a fallen angel.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think of an angel, it's not a very testosterone-y, you know, he's kind of fey and light. And he fell because he was overly ambitious. He wanted to be God. So really, he's just an overly ambitious fey guy. He sounds probably more like a Broadway choreographer than what people
normally
think.
Maybe a personal assistant.
What is it? Yes, I'm the devil. Hello. I've got 7 lines cooking.
Yeah, he's more of a publicist.
5,752 days. Hello, Adam. It's the devil. What's going on?
Yeah, you're right. Look, I'm no biblical scholar, but that doesn't make a great story. I want a guy who is too big a badass for hell.
The devil sounds more like Andy Dick than our conception of the devil.
Okay, well, some people think that President Bush would not make as good of a president as Oprah Winfrey. Now, there's one gentleman in Kansas City. He's a retired teacher. He's mounted a one-man campaign urging Oprah Winfrey.
He's mounted a man, all right. Forget about the campaign.
He's urging Oprah to run for president.
Any guy who wants Oprah has got to be gay, right?
Well, here's the thing. We're going to be speaking to him later, so you can ask him personally.
Uncomfortable.
Because he's calling in.
Let's hope he doesn't have a radio. Let's hope he dismounts his one-man project so he can talk to us.
Well, I don't know if he can afford a radio because he has spent $65,000 of his own money on his campaign to get Oprah to run. Now, here's the thing. Oprah does not like him.
Well, isn't that a news story that a teacher has $65,000?
That should have been my lead story.
Don't we pay them a little bit above can collectors behind the Safeway?
Well, he's 69, so he probably taught a lot of years, and he saved up, and now he's using his money. Oprah's people have written him a cease and desist.
Imagine this twisted mind shaping the youth of America for 40 years. Very sad.
I do love Oprah.
Okay. All right.
A Harvard economist has studied the phenomenon.
How about her husband, Beardman? I think that'd be a good name for him.
I need to correct you. They're not married.
Oh. Well, listen, common law by now. I always think about Gayle King, and I think, wow, she's lucky going on the road, getting all Oprah sloppy seconds. You know, Gayle King is rich just because she's friends with Oprah. And then I think about my relationship with Kimmel, and I think, yeah.
Wait, who's the Gale?
I'm Gale.
You're the Gale.
I like to think
Oprah?
Of. I like to
no.
think of. I like to think of Jimmy's Oprah and me's Gale.
You are coming up. Sex, sluts, and ecstasy.
You are both Oprahs to me. Okay. Now.
I'm sorry, but that's mathematically impossible.
I know.
And I'm man enough to admit that Jimmy's Oprah.
Okay, a Harvard economist who studies the phenomenon of unique naming styles in the black community has found that 30% of the African-American baby girls born in California get a name that no one else has, a totally unique name. This economist, who is also African-American, says, quote, white names tend to be things like Molly. There were 16 million names in California. We only had 6 Mollies, unquote.
Only 6 black
Mollies? That's what he
Mollies?
Says. Yes.
Wow.
He says, and 30% totally unique names. Now, unfortunately, they've done studies where they look at the resume, and if the name is white-sounding, employers tend to respond better to that name.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, the all-timer, a guy I used to work with over at the Man Show, Doug DeLuca, went to school in New Jersey somewhere, and there was a woman of color who he went to school with, first name, Nachilla. second only to Sizzling in the greatest black name Steak'em could do. Those are the top three. Sizzling, Nachilla, and Steak'em.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Steak'em, get back in the house!
For Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports! Do it, Dave.
In the male competition for black names, so I think you got to remember Plexico and DeBrickishaw. Yeah.
Very strong.
They're up there. Hey, listen, as an emissary from the city of Pittsburgh, I wish to apologize to the Dodgers. The Pirates, two nights in a row, have laid waste to the Dodgers. They're now a half game behind the San Diego Padres, who fortunately for Dodger fans also lost last night. The Dodgers, though, Phillies, by virtue of their win, are now tied for the wild card with only 10 games to go. How will it turn out? I don't know. Now, a lot of people are get a lot of attention, I should say, being paid to Tiger Woods and his upset at the Irish media. An Irish newspaper apparently ran a photograph of his very lovely wife that they claim was his wife. Nude picture. Mm-hmm. It was not her. Listen to what he has to say about it.
My wife, yes, she has been a model prior, and she did do some bikini photos, but to link her to porn websites and the such is unacceptable.
It turns out the picture was a close-up. It turns out it was just Craig Stadler with his shirt off. The walrus.
The walrus?
Yes.
What?
But I think, why be upset
Solid
about
C-cup.
It? Shouldn't
yeah.
you also, as a man, if your wife is so foxy that people wish to look at her nude, shouldn't you have a feeling of pride for that?
Well, I'm going to tell you the other aspect. I'm Irish, and I'm just glad to hear that some Irish guy met a deadline.
And I want to say that having answered some ads in the LA Weekly, the definition of modeling is quite wide.
Very true.
And a lot of attention also in the world of football on T.O., Terrell Owens' finger. He broke it last weekend and had to have surgery on it. They have a bye week this week. They're back to play the Tennessee Titans the following Sunday. And a lot of questions, is he going to be ready to go? That's what the media asked Coach Bill Parcells yesterday.
Tennessee is not out of the possibility.
I certainly wouldn't rule it out now. I know we're looking to try to get him moving around pretty good here in the next day or so, so we'll see where we are.
Well, T.O., you know, doesn't take his cues from anybody except himself, and apparently neither does his finger. T.O.'s finger actually held a press
you
conference.
You interviewed the finger.
Yes, after the fact, and here's what the finger had to say.
I don't have to prove anything to nobody. I start catching passes with the rest of the hand when I feel like it. Let me tell you something else about the rest of T.O.'s hand. The rest of these fingers on this hand couldn't wipe shit without me. I'm the straw that stirs the drink, bitch. Pinky, thumb, f*** it, let's roll.
Saucy little digit.
So he gathered up the palm and the rest of the fingers and took off, huh?
They scrammed, I guess. Well, take that, Coach Parcells.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
Dana Gould, thank you very much for sitting in with us.
Lovely as always.
Dana's going to be at the Irvine Improv again today through Sunday. Go out there
and see
some real comedy.
Have a yogurt.
Speaking of real comedy, next, the guy I insulted. I didn't know he was going to be calling into the show in our next break. But here is the teacher, I guess, who does want to support Oprah for president, and he's spent $65,000, which is not a lot to some, but on a teacher's salary. My goodness, that's big bucks. We'll talk to him after this.
Uncle Dave reads a nursery rhyme for Adam's twins.
Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. You want crying? I'll give you crying. Moo, 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 moo. Moo, moo, moo. That's you. That's you. Moo, 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 moo. Moo, 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 moo. Hey, Sonny, this is you. Moo, 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 moo. Moo, 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 moo. And girl, whatever your name is. Moo, 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 moo. Moo, moo. How do you like it? It's not so much fun, is it? Moo, 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 moo.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I got matching hats. The wife went out and got matching hats for me
cute.
And Sonny. They're like cabbie caps.
Oh, that's so cute.
We're wearing them to San Gennaro tonight.
That's really cute.
We'll be at the Prima Notte. where heads are the same size, except for I'm an adult. I mean, they would displace as much water if we put them in a graduated cylinder. And I mean, the kid has a mammoth cabeza. And it's funny because, like I said, his head is so big, he can't support it. So when I sit him up on the pillow, he'll tip over. He knows he's tipping over. He just has no use of his arm.
He's just a little physics problem.
He really is. So we'll be walking around in the matching blue cabbie caps tonight at Prima Notte. Patrick Crow?
Yes, sir.
Good to speak to you.
Hey.
Patrick, you're a school teacher.
I was. I quit in 99.
Quit or were asked to leave?
No, I was asked to leave once before because I tried to start a union in a Catholic school. But that was way back in the early 80s. I quit in 1999. I'd done 41 years, and that was enough. And the teaching income had become a smaller and smaller fraction of my entrepreneurial interest, so I quit.
All right, so you're doing well now. What are you doing now for a living?
I started in the car wash business in the early 60s and wrote a book, How to Teach School and Make a Living at the Same Time, because I made so little money teaching, and I went from 1 to 2 to 3 to 5 to 8 car washes, and so I sold the last one of those in January of 2005.
And now you are heading up the Oprah for President campaign, yes?
Yes, sir.
Now, how does that work?
Well, I want Oprah to become president. So in 2003, I strung up a big banner which read Oprah for President at my car wash and started talking to customers about it, and had Oprah for President t-shirts printed and gave anybody who would write a letter in their own hand asking her to run a free t-shirt. And it grew from there to where more than 20 million people had seen it. Was on Jimmy Kimmel Live, Fox and...
Not familiar with that show. Fox and Friends?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that one. I love that show. Yeah. So, yeah, I remember that. And have you ever spoken to Oprah personally?
No, sir, I have not.
And I hear she slapped you with a cease and desist letter from Oprah's attorneys.
I did get such a letter, 5 pages long. You can read it on a number of websites.
Well, how can you continue with this campaign if you were slapped with the cease and desist?
Well, of course, this is not a court order. This is a letter from attorneys representing Oprah and Harpo telling me they may take legal action if I don't comply to 11 lines of their requests or demands.
I see. And you've spent $65,000 of your own money on this campaign thus far.
Got it.
Well, why do you want Oprah to be president?
Well, here is a woman. Let me add one other thing about the lawyer deal. A second lawyer not associated with the firm who wrote the 5-page letter called me yesterday and said he too represents Oprah and Harpo. And he took a much different stance. So I asked him to put all that in a letter and send it to me.
So he's going to put it in a letter that he's going to hire a drifter to kill you?
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. You must have been the fly on the wall.
Yes.
The drifter with the 357 Magnum he's coming up the sidewalk right
now. She plays hardball. So why do you think she'd be well qualified to be the president?
Here is a woman of extreme compassion, of proven business success far in excess of what Perot had when he ran on that. Here is a woman of fierce determination. She got sued by the Texas cattlemen because she said she wasn't going to eat any hamburgers. They alleged it was going to ruin the Texas cattle business. She took the whole show to Texas and clean their clock.
Right.
Now, that's my kind of action.
Well, I got to say this. As much as I despise Oprah on a personal level because she is an out-of-control narcissist, I do agree that we certainly could do a hell of a lot better than the guys we've had in there in the last few years.
She's self-made?
Self-made, good business savvy, good thinker, and certainly a hard worker. I know this sounds bizarre, but obviously... Or I think it's pretty evident that she's more intelligent than the current guy who's sitting in the Oval Office. probably has more real-world business sense, not daddy-owned a couple of cattle, some oil, and the Texas baseball team. Well, I'm with you.
Stedman would make a lovely first lady.
Well, who's VP?
Oh, she'll get to pick her own.
She gets to pick her own.
We did suggest, when I do it at the car wash, I'd ask, people would say, who's the VP? And I'd ask them, and Dr. Phil is the one that knows. But
yeah.
When I was on Kimmel's show,
I don't need that big blowhard in there. You know what you got to do? You got to start to, listen, you take a mule, I can't believe that guy makes millions of dollars a year for pointing out super obvious crap-isms in his retarded dialect. The idea that you want to lose weight and you better stop eating, son.
Are you effing stupid?
God damn, how stupid are people that we listen to that huge windbag dispense his super obvious, layman, retarded advice and we all just gobble it up with a fork and spoon? So pathetic, by the way. Maybe we are just that dumb. But I'm with you on the Oprah part. And I don't even like her. I just think she'd do a good job.
Amen.
So
I like her.
Now, what do you think? I understand. Sexually?
Oh, no.
I mean, Patrick, if you ever were to consider, you know, being with a woman, would Oprah be the one?
Nah, I can't even get my mind wrapped around
it. I understand. Patrick, are you a gay man?
No, I'm straight.
Really? I would say you're at least bi for wanting Oprah to run for president. But let's continue forward for 1 second. What do you think? Now, Oprah, her empire keeps spreading out wider and wider. She's going to other countries. She's raising money. She's already doing the things a politician would do anyway. Do you think this is part of her grand scheme? Do you think that someday, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, she will run for president?
I think it'll be in 2008.
You do?
She's going to have a presidential aha moment, just like the one she had about child molesters.
Yes, you guys don't know this because you don't watch Oprah, but she has things called aha moments where you have an epiphany.
Yeah.
No, I thought that's where you think about bad 80s fans. You sure this isn't the soundtrack to your life, Patrick? All right, so you think she's going to have an aha moment where she thinks about running for president?
I have the portrait of her on the front of the book I wrote, and she is saying aha right there on the front cover of the book.
Well, then it's a done deal. So she'll get your vote. Do you think she would win?
I don't think there's any question about it. She has 26 million raving fans. How's that for openers for a political candidate?
And all the pee-whipped guys who live with those fans who will be forced to vote along the lines of the old lady who's fanatical about Oprah. Let's not forget about them. Plus, your choice is going to be between her and who? You know what I mean?
Yes.
There's some no-name senator from God knows where that you've never heard of before.
Hillary.
Scary. Ooh. I'm going to Canada, baby, if it comes down to those two. All right.
Condoleezza.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work, Patrick. You really are. I hope Oprah listens to you and runs. I think that'd be entertaining. I really do.
It would be entertaining, if nothing else. I mean, this whole thing has been such a hoot. It's more fun than any one man should be allowed to have.
Yeah. All right. Say hi to your life partner for us, Patrick.
Oprah v. the Terminator in On 8. What a race that'd be.
That would
Patrick
be awesome.
Patrick loves Oprah and uses the word hoot. But he's sweet.
I think we have a song queued up that might help explain things.
Oh, it said the campaign song that he's composed for Prez.
Let's hear that.
There's passion to find in everyone's life, from Portland to Beijing and back.
This is him singing.
There wouldn't be time for war to commence if Oprah was president.
This guy was teaching your children for more than 40 years.
He makes a lot of good points in the song.
You know, it's true.
Perhaps he should use some of that $65,000 he spent on Oprah's campaign and upgrade from the Casio. That's the first. Go ahead and get yourself a real set of ivories to dangle before you do your next Oprah song. All right. We hearing uh-huh here?
Ah.
Listen, I don't know who I have to apologize to, but if this song comes on the radio, I don't turn it off. I don't switch it. Come on now.
You shame on you. Are gay.
Plus, the guy's a drawing.
It's a hoot.
He runs into the video. All right. All right. We need to take a break. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is Jeff Probst, and you are listening to the greatest radio and television personality of all time. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
I love this Bad Religion song. It's ominous. It's angry. Yeah, then it kicks in.
Great band in general.
Oh, we looked it. Yeah, smart guys, nice guys. Gotta get Bad Religion in here. All right, well, just enough time for some plugs. Also, piece of breaking news. Dave Damashek stole the tickets to tonight's Prima Notte.
What?
His San Gennaro Feast.
I stole nothing.
Oh, you stole. Here's the deal. We had two tickets to give out to Prima Notte to our listeners tonight.
And you went there to get them.
No, to give to Jerron or Kyle, who worked in their you-know-what-off every single day for $5 an hour.
I assume you guy took was paying basic, for no, them.
You're not paying. You're the free tickets. He knows they're free $150
Uh-oh.
Tickets. Damashek grabs them.
Where are they? Are they
instead
on your
of
person?
Giving them to Kyle, who we grabbed them from,
you have
who
to
makes
pay
$5
to go in there. You can't just have tickets
for free. Those tickets
I'm
are free.
I can't do that.
You
have
to pay. Listen, Chipo, you're paying now because the tickets are going to Kyle or Jerron, but you're paying to get in for sure.
This is uncomfortable.
You're a Chipo. I'm embarrassed for you.
Cheapo.
They
cannot walk through the door without paying them.
Not those tickets.
You have those tickets. That's what the tickets are for.
We were going to give them to the listeners.
I thought they have you right. I've been there several years in a row, and they always write a check when you walk through the door.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
It says clearly on the tickets, you know, free admission. $150 right, tickets.
What
we'll give them to Kyle or Jerron. Chaffee's got pink eye. He cuts your clips every single day for $4 an hour.
Bruska, Chaffee got that from his boyfriend and asked specifically we not bring it up on the radio.
Why don't you give it to him?
Your prosciutto. Leave me alone.
I'm happy to have for them to have the tickets.
Yeah, now you are happy.
Yes, I am. I'm desperate.
Well, I rarely side with Brusket, but in this case, you did take the tickets. In what
no,
other
I didn't
instance?
Take the tickets.
Took them from
what
Kyle. Instance
Kyle,
do you take?
Where are the tickets
How about
right now?
This? I don't have them.
Kyle? They're not on your person.
Kyle, would you like to go? Kyle would have said yes, and you could have gave them to Kyle.
All right, look, let's wrap it up because there's just enough time for so what have we learned? Yes, wrong music. Well, number one, I now regret naming my girl Natalia. I should have called her in hindsight, being 2020, Nachilla. Nachilla Carolla. Honey, if you're listening, it's not too late to make the swap. Number two, I am the Gayle King to Kimmel's Oprah. Sad, but I've grown accustomed to it. And last, at the Ace Man's funeral, closed casket. Open bar. That's the way I roll.
Good times.
I want to thank Carlos Mencia, Dr. Gary Alter, Dana Gould, also Prima Notte. Well, we don't have to plug it. We've been arguing about it for the last 10 minutes.
It's worth stealing tickets over.
Feast of San Gennaro tonight, one block south of Hollywood in Highland. I'll be there. I'll be there with my fathead kid, and we'll be wearing matching caps. Tomorrow, Sugar Ray Leonard. Well, bitch bag, what else do you need to know? Till next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.